much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Holla, beach ass.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
This is B. Bextra NRJ, Radio Finland. If we were in the United States of America, and I did something wrong, but it wasn't international, it was just domestic, then the law enforcement agency that would handle that would be the FBI.
The FBI?
Never gets old.
Why is Dean so stupid? Why is Dean so gay? Hey. Dean, we shut the F up. And please die today.
And now.
And I strongly urge you and your family to take every precaution against the influence of being.
Our feature presentation.
It's a nice little song. We should all learn that.
I don't like the direction that one's taking.
Don't wow. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Morning, everybody. Brand new program. Wednesday morning.
Why wouldn't you want to pick up the phone and give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067? That is the toll-free number from wherever you are to be a part of the Kevin and Bean Show on What It Do Nephew Wednesday edition. Call now and get on the air. Get a t-shirt. Here's an amazing story, and I can't figure this one out. Her name is Joan Ginther. She's a former math teacher from Bishop, Texas, who just won her fourth lottery for over $1 million.
What?
Every one of her wins has been over $1 million?
I don't know that. But okay. She's just won her fourth lottery for over $1 million.
Wow.
Back in 1993, she won, she was not the only person who shared an $11 million jackpot. Then in 2006, she won $2 million on a scratch-off ticket in the Texas lottery. And by the way, you might ask yourself, why do you keep playing after you win the big money? Maybe this is why, because you still can win. The odds are just as bad to win the next time as they were the first time. So 2006, she wins $2 million on a scratch-off. 2008, she wins a $3 million scratch-off ticket. Last month, she won a $10 million jackpot from the Texas State Lottery.
Wow.
What's up with that?
How much do you think she spends on the lottery?
See, that she's very mysterious.
Does
she
it matter?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
No, if you're spending $100,000 and you keep winning.
Right. But most people would spend $100,000 and not win. I'm just curious. Is she a ticket a day chick or what?
I'm curious too because I'm trying to. I'd love to know what the odds are on one person being so lucky. Because, like Kevin said, even if you're spending $100,000, the odds still aren't good enough to win four in 15 years.
Right, because you'll spend $100,000 and you won't win. I mean,
and you won't win.
That's
right?
Crazy.
There's no way to fix it, is there?
There's zero way to...
I don't know.
Well, believe me, when she keeps showing up to pick up her tickets, the Texas Lottery Commission says, hey, wait, what's going on here? You know, they would check her basement for a printing press. They're trying to figure it out, but of course they've looked into it and they say that it's all completely legitimate. She lives in Las Vegas now. As I said, she doesn't do interviews, but she still goes back to town quite often. She's an extremely private person and apparently has not spent very much of the money either. She's made, she's made some charitable donations. When she moved to Las Vegas, she gave her house away to charity, and she's bought, a few cars for people and things like that. But in general, she lives an extremely modest lifestyle. But crazy money, right?
That is insane.
Yeah, that's
you win an 11, a 2, a 3, and now a 10.
That's crazy money, but it's more impressive that she won the lottery four times.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, you're right. Being the odds against that are just astronomical.
Now, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but in my first sentence, I mentioned that she's a former math teacher, and I'd love to know if she's come up with something. I mean, many people have tried, that's for sure, and the lottery is so random that it is believed that it is impossible to figure it out as a formula. But she earned a doctorate from Stanford University in 1976 in math and then taught for many, many years as a math teacher. You'd want to think that that's connected somehow, but I sure don't see how it could be.
I don't either.
Because
so anyway.
If anything, you'd think she would really know how bad the odds are.
Right.
Right. Because she would understand the 1 in 18 septillion, which is what one estimate of what the odds are, which is...
What's a septillion?
I don't know, but she could actually figure that out.
Yeah.
24 zeros is a septillion. They're saying that's the odds of winning $21 million in four separate lotteries. So, but again, we don't know how many tickets she bought. But Anyway, I just thought that was thought that was an interesting story, and I love her, and I believe that she would love me if she met me.
I'm right with you, right till that last sentence. All right, time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. You call, we put you on the air and give you a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
And today's prize is a brand spanking new Kevin and Bean t-shirt. You'll love this, by the way, because we get emails from time to time. People go, hey, I want a t-shirt, but I haven't gotten it yet. So I asked Dave yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He says, we haven't had t-shirts since November.
So these are just, we're sending out promises?
These are phantom t-shirts. These are like State of California IOUs for your taxes.
So we'll get them one day.
Will we?
One day. Yeah.
Well, maybe. And then if we get them and we still have your information...
Because we're keeping a list somewhere.
And you haven't moved.
And you haven't moved, right?
This is sad, you guys.
It's pretty low rent. It's pretty low rent. Let's start with Matt on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about a momentous television event last night that you probably didn't even realize was happening. Hi, Matt. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Matt?
What's going on?
Hey, oh my God, it's finally over. The hills, it's finally over.
The hills has ended.
Oh, it is.
No more will my TV be locked up at night.
Did you watch the finale last night?
I had to. My wife watches that crap all the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And here's the question I have, because I watched the finale too, and they did something actually very interesting at the end. But did you watch the after show? Because there were at least Spencer was tweeting yesterday that he was planning on crashing the after show party because he wasn't invited. Did that happen? Do you know?
I did not know. I went immediately to bed.
Good call.
Okay. Yeah. The final scene of the final episode of The Hills I thought was actually kind of clever. They did one of their usual dramatic scenes where Kristen Cavallari was gonna move away to Europe because she couldn't find a man and she needed to figure out what she was doing in her life. And by the way, she'd never been to Europe, but this is how rich these kids are. She's decided she's going to relocate to Europe.
All right.
Till further notice. And, of course, Brody, her on-again, off-again boyfriend, doesn't want her to go. And he shows up, like they always do on the hills, he shows up as they're putting her bags in the car. Because
yes.
That happens in real life, right? And he says, please don't go. And she says, I'm going anyway. She gets the car and drives away. And they show Brody, and he's standing there in front of the Hollywood sign, probably down there on Gower in Hollywood, right? It's all dramatic and everything like that. And then all of a sudden, you see the Hollywood sign start moving behind them, and they pull – they're on a soundstage, and they pull – the backdrop away, and he's standing there on a soundstage like at Warner Brothers Lot or something like that, and Kristen has turned the car around and come back out and gotten out and hugged him, and they go walking off into the sunset, and you know, backs out wide shot, you see all the camera crews and everything, and it's almost like it's a nod to, this show has never been real.
Yes.
They've always been acting. And now at least we're finally going to admit, which I thought was an interesting way to kind of end a show like that.
It's kind of funny.
Wow.
Yeah.
That surprises
me.
That surprised me.
I thought it was kind of clever, though, didn't you, Matt?
It was pretty clever. I mean, I honestly don't know what to think of it.
For
I,
a not
is that
clever
a happy
show,
ending or a sad ending, I don't know.
Well, for a show that tried to convince us that it was real for a long time,
and
then
right.
finally,
so
like grudgingly, had to say, "Yeah, okay, it's not all real."
Yeah,
that's way over their heads. They're playing there.
It
in
is
that, in that.
And there are so many things that have happened on that show that it's so obvious that it's not real. I mean, just one example is this chick, you know, this Kristen Cavallari who packed up to move to Europe last night. You know, according to the script, indefinitely, may not ever come back. She leaves everything in her apartment. She just closes it up. I mean, she doesn't pack. She doesn't move. She doesn't put anything into storage. I mean, she just leaves it as is because that's how, you know, it's probably not her apartment. It's probably rented for her by the show.
Mm-hmm.
And all those things in that apartment are probably props. You know,
sure.
I mean, the whole thing is so artificial. But, yeah, it's finally over after 4 years and 6 seasons. And I think we got a Spencer update later on today to find out what he thinks about it.
I give him props. That ending was way over their heads.
I liked it better than the Sopranos ending.
All right, let's go to Shelley. Hi, Shelley.
Good morning, L.A.
Good morning.
Hi, Shelley.
Kevin, I'm calling to make sure you're okay. Stanley Cup's over. NBA finals are done.
Yeah.
World Cup.
Yeah.
All gone.
Yeah.
Are you going to rehab? Are you going to actually like baseball?
In and out
are you going to be okay?
This really is the worst part of the year for me. And I'll tell you another reason is because even SportsCenter, which is a go-to, you can watch SportsCenter all the time. Now it's all baseball.
Because that's all they got.
Right. I mean, at least SportsCenter, you know, when baseball's going on, they show some highlights of baseball and then they show highlights of other sports, but Now,
okay,
it's,
well, let me just suggest,
take my
though,
life.
Let me just suggest that you've had this complaint forever. It's much better than it used to be, though, because you still have UFC probably once a month.
Right.
You still have X Games is coming up later this month, and
right.
that's going to be good for a couple of weeks,
but
right?
What
you'll
do
be
you
have-
do tonight?
No, X Games is only for 4 days, dude.
Oh, is that all it
yeah,
is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you're right, Shelly. I might take my own life.
There's a huge hole in his heart.
There is.
At least with the World Cup, it extended your viewing it enjoyment did. Of sports a little bit longer.
For a full month, yeah. That was fantastic. But then after the World Cup ended, then I was like, oh, man, now it's worse than usual.
You know, they do run football games on the NFL Network. You have that. You can watch,
yeah.
you know, here's the Chargers from 76. You can watch those, those
yeah.
games.
I'm not that interested in watching replays of old games. You know,
I agree.
I know a lot of people are into them. I see people all the time going, oh, my God, they're playing the Yankees from 92.
Right.
And I'm like, how could you care now?
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
No.
So basically, I just watch porn. Thank you for the call, Shelly.
Let's do one more. How about Eddie? He's on line two calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Eddie, welcome to the program. What it do?
Hey, what it do, guys? So last night I'm watching this in an independent film channel, and what do I see but Trapped in the Closet by R. Kelly?
Oh.
Yay!
Oh, it's one of the best things ever. This might be a good opportunity to say, we went through this, I don't know, 2 years ago or whenever it was out,
yeah.
3 years ago. And we went through it just, you know, chapter by chapter. It is one of the most unbelievable things you'll ever see. And if you didn't hear that or you've never seen it, R. Kelly Trapped in the Closet, you can buy it on DVD. Your mind was blown, wasn't it, Eddie?
I could not take my eyes off of it. I wanted to kill myself, but I couldn't stop watching.
You can't stop watching, but it's one of those things that's so unbelievably bad.
It was. It was horrible.
And
horrible.
You look at it and you go, this is a serious artist.
Yeah, and he's serious about it.
Yes.
That's the thing.
Oh, it's so bad.
For listeners who aren't familiar with the name, R. Kelly is a very popular R&B singer. Huge pop sensation, probably best known for the I Believe I Can Fly song from a few years ago. But he created this soap opera world that he presented in chapters of songs that were about 5 or 6 minutes each. And how many were there? There were like 25 of them or
yeah,
something, right?
Yeah, 22
and
chapters.
And so one would end, and then the next episode would come out, and it would kind of pick up where that one left off. And it told this unbelievably elaborate story that involved midgets, and it involved cheating, and involved poop, and it just involves so many crazy things.
I have a few highlights if you want to hear some of it.
No, I don't. I don't ever.
In a while. Are you kidding?
Yeah, a little bit.
Pastor Rufus Lones comes home to find his wife been sleeping around with Sylvester. Oh, Sylvester's cell phone rings. He comes out of the closet pointing his Beretta. Oh, then they go through this thing, arguing, fussing, and time goes by. And then Kathy finds out about Rufus' lover, Chuck, the gay guy. Oh, sh**. And then Sylvester calls home, never knowing that a man would answer his phone. Oh, sh**. Then he got to his house, bust up in it, to find his wife, Gwendolyn. She was s**ing around with this sausage-headed policeman.
So... it goes like that for 22 chapters. It is just basically him telling a story that is terrible.
But it kind of rhymes.
Nope.
Sort
nope.
of. Once in a while.
You do need a flow chart to follow all of the characters, though. It's pretty insane. All right, dude. Great to call. Great to call back. Thank you for reminding us.
And then they got into a fight, wrestling over a gun. The wind screamed and stopped. Next thing you know, they shot her brother twice. Just a lick, he was barely hurt. Now here come Rose, the nosy neighbor. She thinks she's the neighborhood savior.
She was my favorite, Rosie, the nosy neighbor. Yeah,
yes.
I loved her. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You should just smile and me, because I deserve it.
I'd rather not. Do I have an
option? Tell us about today.
Do I have an option, or is he coming over? We're going to talk about massage therapists today.
Yeah.
There is a story involving Al Gore. I don't know how old this is. Being a week or longer?
Probably about a month ago is when it first broke. Portland police investigating sexual assault charges. A masseuse up in Portland, Oregon, is accusing Al of sexual advances toward her and inappropriate groping and whatnot. And we're starting to talk about this off air. That must be fairly common with clients who go into a massage therapist, most of whom, 99% of whom, are probably professional and offer a non-sexual service. But they expect a little something extra, maybe because of you know, the shadier establishments or sure. what they've seen on TV or something like that. They're in there for a little rub and tug, and that's not what's being offered, and there could be a big misunderstanding there. And I thought it might be interesting to find out what it's like for the people who are providing the services.
And the way guys are, that has to happen so many more times. I mean,
sure.
Wouldn't you think that would drive a woman out of the massage business?
I yeah. would. Absolutely.
We also have Ryan Seacrest is a big fat liar. We have a new Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day. We've got a brand new Internet Roundup. What a bunch we have of that.
Oh, good.
Oh, so good. And we're gonna catch you up with Spencer Pratt in the Hills. Finally over.
Okay.
Finally over. No more Hills.
That's good news.
Very excited about that. We'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Ralph Garman joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show, taking a look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Congratulations to... Is it Wednesday already?
Yep.
Holy crap. This week is flying by.
It is?
Yeah.
Right.
Just caught me by surprise. This one was like Tuesday.
It's only a day off.
I know, but still.
Okay.
It's a big difference to me. Mm. Former Poison frontman Bret Michaels is engaged. He popped the question to his on-again, off-again girlfriend of 16 years, Lynn Gibson, over the 4th of July weekend. Bret said he decided to propose after narrowly escaping death. After his brain hemorrhage in April. Life is short, he said, and I would like to make my life feel as long as possible, so I'm getting married. No, he didn't say that. I said that. Still. Speaking of marriage, Javier...
Can I just ask one question? Do you think she said, before I answer, you have life insurance? She said that to him?
Yes.
Because honestly?
Yes.
All right. Just say.
All right.
He's about to die.
Javier Bardem and Penelope Cruz are married. People Ooh. Magazine says that the pair was married earlier this month in a small private ceremony in the Bahamas. So private that they were able to keep the news secret until now. They've been dating since 2007 when they met on the set of Woody Allen's film Vicky Cristina Barcelona. And they fell magically deeply in love.
I was thinking for a couple of, A-list Oscar winners, they keep a very low profile for a relationship that's been going on as long as theirs have.
Reportedly, they're both homebodies. Don't really do the party circuit, and they don't travel in the Hollywood community very openly, so I guess it was easy enough, but they
might actually stand a chance.
They are wildly yeah. in love, according to all their friends, and have been...
Well, let's ask. We got Javier Bardem right here in the studio. Any comments on the secret wedding to Penelope Cruz?
No comment, friendo.
That's okay. How private.
Glad you asked me. That's how private they are.
Dennis Hopper was memorialized by friends and family last week at the Santa Monica Pier. Apparently, Dwight Yoakam headed up the mourners.
Close friends?
But apparently they were very good friends.
No.
Sang a couple songs in his honor, and some people got up and said some very nice things. And so this is the last of the memorials for the legendary actor and artist. I was sad to see him go.
Yeah.
Me too.
Talented guy. Orlando Bloom's officially a graduate.
Ooh!
He studied at a place called the Guildhall School of Music and Drama in London. He finished his studies years ago, but he was filming Lord of the Rings when they had their official ceremony for all the graduates, so he returned to receive his degree, and his fiancée Miranda Kerr was on
hand.
Oh,
my God.
Oh. Wow.
Apparently his family was there, too, and they said, hopefully, now that he's got his diploma, he'll be able to get some work. I feel the same. Glad he finally finished. Kourtney Kardashian.
Glendale.
Is apparently living beyond her means.
Uh-oh.
She has 20 credit cards, according to Star Magazine, and has to continually ask her mom, Chris, to pay her debt off. And I'm surprised. With a guy with a baby daddy as successful and as put together
sure.
as Scott Disick, I'm surprised that she has to ask people for money, because he seems like he's at the top of his game just raking in the cash.
Sure.
When he's not guzzling Patron out of a bottle that someone else bought for him.
Well, no one knows what he does, Lisa.
He doesn't do anything, Lisa. That's the problem.
He literally just sits around and does nothing.
I saw on a magazine cover yesterday, like a Star or something, that she's pregnant again.
Oh, no.
I don't know if it's true, but...
Oh, please don't be true. That. Does Eminem lip sync?
No
the rumors have been going around for a while. And fans at the Tea in the Park Festival in Scotland last weekend were complaining after the show, furious, saying that he was lip-syncing during the show. You know how what the giveaway was, is he tried to say something to the audience after one of his songs, and his mic was off.
Mm.
That's when people realized he may not actually be rapping himself. They also said his miming looked like a bad kung fu movie. And to add insult to injury, Eminem welcomed the crowd from Edinburgh, but in fact he was in the city of Balado at the time, and they didn't take
kindly. They didn't like that either?
No. Yeah. They didn't want him to know where he was.
I don't doubt this story at all, but that would very, very much surprise me if he would be lip-syncing, because he clearly has the chops to do that kind of rapping.
Yes.
Now, you know what happens a lot of times is that they have backing tracks of himself, but then they turn on his mic as well. Mm-hmm. That happens a lot, but I don't know what happened in this show.
So The Hills is over, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I was listening to Bean talk about The Hills. You eschew all things Jersey Shore. You hate the Jersey Shore,
yep.
And yet you watch The Hills.
A lot of hot chicks on The Hills. A lot of hot chicks.
Like, there are some attractive women.
There are other places
women.
You can find hot chicks, by the way, but other than The Hills.
No, it's not Dancing TV, with the know. Stars, where it's like just overflowing with insanely hot chicks dressed with nothing. It's got a couple.
But all things
chicks.
You complain about with Jersey Shore, how you hate those people and everything, I think that show is a lot more honest, and those people are much more forthright with who they are than The Hills, which is completely obnoxious and fabricated, and these people are completely false.
Maybe so, but I will also tell you that the Jersey, in particular Philadelphia accent, is so annoying that it's impossible for me to find it entertaining. That accent just kills me, and that's part of what I hate so much about the Jersey Shore people.
Yeah,
and that, you can't get away from that. I mean,
later
that's every minute of the show.
Got to give it another try later this month.
And today, in theaters everywhere, and it'll be a rare midweek opening, The Sorcerer's Apprentice. Opens in theaters everywhere, starring Nicolas Cage, Jay Baruchel, Alfred Molina, and Monica Bellucci.
Ooh,
a little minor role. I actually saw the film last night, and I found it surprisingly entertaining.
Oh, really?
I haven't heard very much about this. This has nothing to do with the Disney movie? It's not a remake or anything? Or
well, the Disney movie was animated, starring Mickey Mouse.
Right.
So they take the title from that successful cartoon. And as Jerry Bruckheimer is wont to do, he'll take a successful name from the Disney catalog and then kind of build a movie around it and make a franchise out of it. And I think that's what the plan is for this one. But there is sort of an homage. If you remember that cartoon at all where Mickey is the Sorcerer's Apprentice and he makes all the mops and brooms dance. You remember that sequence?
No, but go ahead.
Oh, well, that famous sequence is recreated in this film. But that's the only really connection it has to the animated film. Nicolas Cage is very entertaining in this. And Alfred Molina is a great villain. Mm-hmm. Monica Bellucci is beautiful. So I really like it. It's obviously a kid's movie, but it's one of those kids' movies that the parents won't want to kill themselves while they're watching, which is a plus.
It's key, yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Vincent Pastore of Sopranos fame. He played Big Pussy, of course, on that show.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
He is 64. Producer Joel Silver is 58. Actress Jane Lynch, one of our favorites from Glee. Mm-hmm. She is 50 years old. Jackie Earle Haley, who is so good in The Watchmen as Rorschach, and of course can be seen every week in Human Target. He is 49. Matthew Fox from Lost is 44. And Taboo from Black Eyed Peas celebrates his 35th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And now, another drama-filled moment on The Hills.
Yeah, because, like, you just, like, ride a dirt bike. But then, like, you're just, like, Care Bear.
Right? That was a drama-filled moment on The Hills.
I'm gonna miss that. Archie, that's some of the best screenwriting on television today. Ladies and gentlemen, after 4 years and six seasons, last night was The Hills finale. Let's welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Studios our friend Spencer Pratt.
I live and breathe, I would say, pop culture and the entertainment business. I currently am in a partnership with the next Jay-Z. I won't go to a club now for less than $100,000.
You say villain, some people say jerk. I mean, tomato, tomato.
I'm too rich and I'm too famous to be sitting with these people and cleaning up their in the jungle, my man. And this cast is devaluing our fame right now. I'm sitting next to VH1 comedians that I've never even seen before. I'm a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I kickbox. I box every day. I don't fear no man.
Believe it, kid. Oh, Spencer, we're so close to being able to say goodbye to you forever.
Hello.
I can't wait.
You'll never say Spencer? Goodbye to Spence, dog. Okay, kid?
The Hills what kid.
Why can't we hear Spencer?
Oh, why can't you hear? I don't know. I believe he's being heard by
everybody. Oh, Spencer. Hello? Can you talk?
Shut up.
All right. There he is.
Don't yell at him. It's not his fault.
There's our boy. Spencer, I was just saying I'm so glad that we're going to be rid of you forever, very soon.
Maybe this is it.
You'll never be rid of what? Wait, time out. You're fat.
She's not fat at all.
Yeah, Catherine is fat.
What's wrong with you?
Secondly, Catherine is fat, but Lisa's okay.
Blah, blah, blah. I got some Adderall for that mouth. Shut up. Secondly, you'll never be rid of Spence Dog, okay? I'm the world's greatest multimedia kingpin linchpin pin for diapers. Right. I am Captain Crunch.
You're not Captain
You're
Crunch.
Not Captain Crunch. All right. What have you done besides be on a reality TV show, really? Because everything else that I think of, whether it's producing a record or producing a rap or everything else you've done has been a disaster and a failure.
I was the world's first switchboard operator.
No, that's not true. And it did not
long
happen,
before
actually.
You were alive.
I invented chicken.
You invented chicken?
How I did. Nobody invented chicken.
What's wrong with you?
Last night they brought everybody back, even Lauren Conrad. They had the big after show party where they had, you know, Whitney, who's not even on the show anymore, and Lauren, who's not even on the show, and everybody else, you know, and Audrina and Justin Bobby and Lo and everybody.
All these former people were there?
No Spencer, no Heidi. It's like you guys have been erased from history.
No, we're a little bit too powerful for their stupid show now. And I had to throw on my ever convincing disguise and try to crash the show just to bring a little bit of excitement to it.
The
you
picture
know?
Of you dressed as an old man is the most, it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Well,
because
I learned how to be a master of disguise.
You're
as
not
my
a master of disguise.
As a Soviet spy and as a kangaroo boxing
There's
champion.
No one more Spencer than you were last night in your disguise.
Oh, whatever. I invented humming. I deserve a little bit more appreciation.
How can you say you're too big for that show and then try to crash their after party at the Roosevelt Hotel? If you're too big, then why even grace them with your presence, Spencer?
Look, it's just like Shakespeare said. If you get caught between the moon and New York City...
That's not Shakespeare.
Could be crazy, but it's true, Catherine.
That's not Shakespeare.
Whatever.
Okay, you're done. Hopefully we'll never hear from you again. What is your plan now that you're off the MTV show? What are you going
to
do?
Oh, maybe I'll just go to my home in Monaco, my 26,000 square foot palace that I have right there on the water.
I don't think you have that.
And
don't
live
have that
my life as the guy who founded fingernails.
No one founded. What are you talking? You can't found fingernails. What are you talking?
I make it rain, kid. You don't understand.
Supposedly,
when I show up at Les Deux and all the hottest clubs, it's mall shutting down time, kid.
Yeah.
Look at my eyes.
Supposedly, you don't have any money, and your one report says you're homeless. I mean, basically, things are not going anywhere near as well for you as you make it sound.
Well, I like to keep people guessing.
Right.
Tomato, tomato. You know what I'm saying, playa? Quid pro quo, either way you look at it.
You don't even know what you're saying right now. Hey,
I don't
what's going on with you and your dumb wife, though? Where's she? Because it seems like you guys have split up as well. I hope that's true.
Yeah, I didn't believe those reports, but now it looks real.
Yeah, I still don't.
Well, you know, like I said, we like to keep people on the balls of their feet. You never want to play out your, you know, show your hand too quickly. I know that because I'm the world champion of poker.
You're not.
And I'm also the albino from the Edgar Winter Group.
No. You're not, but that's a good callback.
I believe Edgar Winter is the albino from the Edgar Winter Group. You ever think about that, Spencer? All right.
Look at it. First off, stop it. Look at my hoodie. Rhinestones, kid.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, we're out of time. We got to go, Spencer. Any final words for the Kevin and Bean audience who has endured you for so many of the past few years talking about the Hills?
When life gets a little tough, remember that I, Toucan Sam, have the flesh-colored beard to lead you to prosperity. What?
Wow.
That's a fitting ending.
Words to live by.
Parkour.
First, it's time for the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
I got to tell you, there's three nominations for today, and I can't choose between them, so I say we name them all three.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. All right, what are they doing?
The first one, say authorities in New Hampshire apparently was caught on store surveillance stealing beer. This guy has been arrested 154 times.
Yay!
He's 49 years old, so he's led a very, very active life.
Shouldn't there be, and look, I know I've been accused of being tough on crime. Shouldn't there be a 100 strikes in your outlaw?
Well, yeah, you would think. Someplace, even 50. I think 50 is pretty lenient.
Mm-hmm.
154th time. So apparently he stole an 18-pack and a 12-pack of Budweiser from a convenience store. And they caught him on the security cam.
Okay.
His 153rd arrest was allegedly for punching a man in the face a week after he completed a one-year jail sentence for stealing a $1.99 can of beer.
Wow.
So his weakness apparently is just beer.
Yeah.
And he cannot see his way through to buying it. So he's, every time he wants a beer, he steals it.
And he gets caught like 50% of the time.
I don't know how that happens. 154 arrests. Wouldn't any of us be in jail for...
Ever.
Ever?
Yeah.
Forever. Yeah.
Think
that's
of what
unbelievable.
That costs.
All right. So that's the first guy. Second guy, a woman, sorry, mom mm-hmm. in Memphis, Tennessee, a Memphis woman called police because her son was stealing her prescription sedatives. She had Xanax that was mm-hmm. prescribed by a doctor.
Okay.
And she hid the Xanax, and her son stole them from her okay. bra. From her bra.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
What?
Yeah, from her bra.
While she was wearing her bra?
Yes.
He dug into her boobies to get the pills?
Yep. Apparently she was sleeping.
So, I don't know if that's creepier.
Or how much would they have to pay you to get that close to your mom's boobs?
There were 22 Xanax pills. Maybe it was worth it.
Oh,
so
man.
She's sleeping, and he's thinking, I gotta get the Xanax out of her mom without waking her up. And
that's
then,
amazing.
And then she woke up, and she called the police on her son, who was stealing drugs out of her bra.
The fact that she had to go to sleep with the pills in her bra.
Yeah, that probably tells you something.
Speaks to the household they're living in.
Yeah, sure.
That's unbelievable. I mean, look, that's going to be safe from me. If the pills
right.
are in mom's bra,
right.
I'm just not going there.
I'll go somewhere else and get them.
She can right, always exactly. hide them deeper.
Oh,
wow.
That's going to be another story.
Wow. Oh, by the way, the part I forgot to tell you was the cops found him under a neighbor's sport utility vehicle, and he is 28 years old.
Oh, man. Another
yep.
winner.
28 years old, digging in his mom's bra. So that's
just sad.
Kevin to be Citizen of the Day 2. Citizen of the Day 3 is a South Florida woman. Most of these stories do come from Florida. She was stunned by a police taser earlier this week. Apparently, she went into a Walmart, and she stole 2 boxes of Trojan condoms.
Okay.
Now,
busy weekend. That's responsible.
In a way, it's responsible, yeah.
In my opinion, if you're 300 pounds plus, you should get them for free.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we don't want her getting pregnant. But the funny part was, her name is Crystal Burnett Duvaux. She's 22 years old. She's charged with retail theft and resisting arrest because when the police showed up, she ran. Not in a car, but physically tried to outrun the policeman.
I'm sorry, she's 300 plus?
300 plus.
Wow, at 22 years old. Aww. That's tough to do.
She was warned by Officer Lee Rem, who wrote in his police report that he had no choice but to put her down with a stun gun because she was 300 pounds and she wouldn't stop running. He
it's
was
like chasing an elephant.
She was slow-mo, but still.
She wasn't outrunning him. He was right there. It's just she wouldn't stop.
She was dragging him along.
He was probably running backwards. Seriously, you're going to have to stop. I got to arrest you. And he pulled out his taser and he took her down with that.
Oh, man.
So those are the Kevin and Bean citizens of the day.
Now you know, Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. By the way, I was thinking just yesterday of the greatest inventions in my lifetime,
mm-hmm.
like of all the things that have been invented since I've been alive, which do I consider the most essential? And there are some pretty amazing things over the last couple of decades. But I think the internet's got to be number one.
Oh,
I think it's
got to
be. Yeah, I think it's got to be the best invention of my lifetime.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah,
because
the
other stuff that I consider essential, you know, cars and air conditioning and telephones and things like that. All that stuff was been long before I was born. But the internet is, you know, I can't imagine. I mean, imagine how much it has changed the world. I mean, where else would we see videos of cats playing pianos? I mean, that didn't exist before.
You'd have to go to someone's house. Yeah. I had a cat and knew how to play the piano.
Yeah, what are the chances?
Exactly.
Right.
So there's too much out there for any one person, for any 100 people, for any million people to keep up with everything that's floating around the internet. But we do our very best once a week with a little thing we like to call the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Now, we put a bunch of videos up. Not all of them have audio, so we can't really play a highlight. Some of the ones that don't have audio is the wedding photographer, Unfortunate Mishap.
Did you see that? Is that
yes,
unbelievable?
It's the best thing ever. He's walking backwards. The couple just got married, is walking down the aisle. He's walking backwards, and he doesn't realize not only is there something behind him, but there's a little pool. It's like a fountain, and he falls in the fountain. It's the best. And his camera's completely submerged, meaning probably all of those wedding photos are ruined.
Oh, no.
It's awesome. Which is, it's bad for the couple that all their wedding photos are now ruined, but it's so great that they have that story to tell for the rest of their life. How funny was it when we were walking down the aisle and the photographer fell into the pool?
The world's
you got to see it.
The world's happiest DJ is up there.
Unbelievable.
And words can't describe. You have to see it.
How happy he is?
He's happier than Double Rainbow Guy.
Wow.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. There's one way to parallel park. I like that one because the guy doesn't quite have enough space, so he just touches his bumper to the front car and just pushes it forward a little. Gives himself a little more space. Black Sock Guy, he's my hero.
What is this about?
It's a news reporter who's trying to do a report, and he walks up completely naked with a black sock over his unit.
Really?
And puts his arm around her. So then she moves over and starts again, and then he walks over and puts his arm around her. He just won't leave
he
her
He will
alone.
Not get out of their live shot. It's great.
It's really great. There's the girl trying to do a backflip on TV. Now, I don't quite understand how this was happening. It looked like maybe a morning news show or something like that, and a reporter was out there, and there was somebody else that was trying to do a backflip from the ground to the ground. It wasn't, on a trampoline or anything. Mm-hmm. And she does not complete the backflip and
no,
pretty much face plants.
Oh,
it's brutal.
On TV. And it's great.
We were working on this all morning long. Oh! Is she down? Wait, whoa. Recovery. Oh, man. Now I'm feeling horrible. Dana, lie down.
Dear God.
I don't know if you saw the Yankee fan who was just in right field, just to the right, just in foul territory of a home run, and he was talking on his cell phone. Oh. And he didn't notice that a ball got hit and took one bounce on the field and then went right up and hits him right in the face.
Oh, man.
Because he's on his cell phone.
It's hilarious. He's not paying the tiniest bit of attention to the game. He's so engrossed in his telephone call, doesn't have any idea that the ball is coming toward him, much less hitting him in the head.
And he's a Yankees fan, which makes it even better.
Guy on his cell phone out there, ground rule double comes up, not paying attention because he's on the phone. Whoops.
Idiot.
We'll never.
How do you really feel?
There's another baseball one, and this one they don't really show, I'm glad to say. But you know how everybody goes for foul balls
mm-hmm.
when you go to a baseball game? Some kids bring their gloves and stuff. Well, this foul ball was very high and went up near the top section,
uh-huh.
but didn't quite make it. So a Rangers fan reaches a little too far.
Oh, no.
And falls from the top past the row of suites to the bottom section of the baseball field.
Yeah, quite a drop.
Low! A fan tumbled out, and I pray that he's okay. Foul ball getting to the upper deck. I am so glad we didn't see that.
I'm so glad I didn't see it.
Oh, my.
But everybody on the field, I mean, the players are laying on the ground. They just can't even believe what they're seeing. The umpire's got his hands over his head. By the way, the guy was fine.
The guy was fine.
Completely recovered.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know how? Drunk, I'm guessing.
Maybe. Yes. Maybe.
That's the beauty of being drunk. You don't break stuff.
I can't tell you how many times I've seen people lean over the wall to catch a foul ball on the ground level and just fall onto the field. I mean, you know, fortunately, you've only got a couple feet to fall. But when you do it from the upper deck, yeah, now you're talking danger.
This is the upper deck. And then there was a sweet level between and then the lower deck.
He should have died.
Yeah, no question about it. The 100 greatest movie insults of all time is worth watching the entire thing. We don't have time.
I love it when people edit this stuff together.
I know, what is it, 8, 9, 10 minutes being? But
yeah,
here,
something else.
Here are a few of the examples.
You pompous. Stuck up, snot nosed, English giant, twerp, scumbag, face, head, asshole.
You're an emotional cripple. Your soul is dull. Every single thing about you is ugly.
You are physically repulsive, intellectually retarded, vulgar, insensitive, selfish, stupid. You have no taste, a lousy sense of humor, and you smell.
And so there's a ton of those, but there's also the video from the movie, so you get to watch every
movie.
These
are not short insults.
They're not.
No.
Some of them are longer.
don't attempt these at home.
Amazing video weirdness is what we're talking about this next one. And this is somebody who took like old TV shows and infomercials, and some are commercials, and some are after school specials, and some are super B. What's worse than a B movie, Bean?
There's no term for it, but yeah, the lowest quality level B movies you've ever seen, and he's edited them all together into a 10-minute montage. This is amazing, by the way. I remember one time we had Kevin Smith in, and he's like, "That's where all the creativity is, man. It's these people who are mixing this stuff together and chopping it up in new ways. It's like there are a million filmmakers out there. I mean, this is an original work of art. When you see what this guy has done, we're taking all these disparate elements together, but it's amazing.
Yeah, you have to watch the whole thing because you won't believe what's coming next, and you have no idea what's coming next because it's all just bizarre.
Oh.
Here's a few clips.
Wipe yourself, always front to back. carefully, now you have the knack.
This is crack, and this is what you smoke it in.
Nobody turns down drugs!
It's just bizarre after bizarre after bizarre.
Yeah. It's like being on an acid trip, I would imagine.
There's a dude that did a song called Duckface. He's not happy with. Why do people is it called pursing your lips when you put them out like that? Yeah, he says that it doesn't look good, and he has an entire song along with a slideshow of people making the face.
I don't know how this got started, but all you dumb bitches look retarded. It's not beautiful. It's horrible. So take your lips and put them back to normal. Duck face.
That's a whole song.
Are these people posing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That pouty look?
That pouty face. What is that about?
Hot chicks do that a lot.
Why?
Because they think it looks sexy. And this guy just wants him to know that
sometimes it does.
And Gene Simmons does
it. Yeah, well, sure.
It's a duck face, though. That's exactly what you look like when you make that face.
He put a lot of work into it, so watch it.
Okay.
And finally, go to KevinAndBean.com and Internet Roundup. Finally, Christian Bale and Mel Gibson phone fight.
Are you professional or not?
No! I need a woman!
Give me a answer! I'm going to go. You want me to go trash your lights?
Absolutely, unequivocally.
Then why are you trashing my scene?
Because you hurt me so bad. And I will make your goddamn life miserable.
So you got that on there as well.
Yeah. Good times.
Good times. So go to KevinAndBean.com, Internet Realm.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
And now, another drama-filled moment on the hills.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
How disgusting.
I was dying.
That was a drama-filled moment on the hills.
You're going to miss that so much.
God.
How could we go on? All right, it's Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hell, it's Wednesday almost everywhere. But Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
There's any information on the person who set off an M80 in Psycho Mike's hair. I wish they would please come forward and notify us here at the Kevin and Bean Show, because it is an unconscionable act of terrorism, in my opinion, to blow up a guy's head like that.
He did that on purpose. And then he looked in the mirror and he went, yes.
Woo! I am good to go.
Right on.
Time to hop in the old Sierra.
The situation is off to work.
Or whatever kind of truck it is you drive. It is on!
What's
like
on?
Donkey Kong!
Yeah!
What's on?
The battle
between
Lindsay Lohan and Joan Rivers. It is a Twitter battle, my friends.
Wow, who do I even know who to root for in that game? That's a tough one.
Whoever's not Joan Rivers is who you root for.
I will tell you, it's an easy answer once you read their tweets. Who to root for. Here's Joan Rivers, and I'm telling you something. F you people who say that she's an American treasure and she's so funny and she's great.
I agree.
F you. Oh, she had a documentary about her life. How influential she is. Great. Now it's time for her to lay down and take the long nap, because she is not the least bit funny anymore, if she ever was. Here's her first tweet about Lindsay Lohan. Lindsay Lohan is so dumb. Her idea of being sworn in at court is cursing at the judge.
Is she trying to be funny?
Sworn, like swearing, like when you swear, you use a curse word.
Yes.
See?
Yep.
Okay.
I was just reading about the new Lindsay Lohan diet, which is all liquid, 80 proof. Mm-hmm. She tweeted, "Listen, old lady, put down the cell phone or the laptop or whatever you're using to tweet. Stop it. Stop it. It's passed you by. The world has passed you by."
She's been old and not funny my whole life. I don't understand the whole, she's a treasure and she blazed the way and all that kind of... She's terrible.
Well, the only thing worse than that is Lindsay replying.
Oh, no.
Via her Twitter account. Joan Rivers and her stargument make me believe that she and Michael Lohan are a match made in heaven. All she needs is her Botox doctor. Dr. Drew, any ideas? Botox, oh. Botox rehab reality show?
No, she didn't.
Yeah. The it's gauntlet on. You're has right, been thrown.
This is ridiculous.
She responded then again with, in the words of 50 Cent, you shouldn't throw stones if you live in a glass house, and if you got a glass jaw, you should watch your mouth.
Okay. She probably
you're twittering. F*** you.
That there's yes. an original source for.
And then Samantha Ronson joined in.
Yes.
With her tweet.
What did he say?
Hey, Joan Rivers, you have collagen older than Lindsay. Pick on someone your own age. Oh, wait, I guess people that old can't hear.
Because hearing is an essential part of tweeting. Cage match, please.
This is so good.
I'm going to start a hole. I'm going to dig a big hole.
Okay.
Okay. And some people are going in. All right. That's all I'm telling you.
Is there going to be a rose garden above it?
I'm going to get the people at BP on it, and we're going to dig a massive well, and we're going to start chucking some people in.
How dare you? How dare you say that? Aren't you amazed? How stupid is already say that, son of a bitch?
Forget yeah. Twitter. I'm on the CB.
good news. If you are a desperate woman in her 20s who thinks you're way beyond the age where you should already be married and you're willing to embarrass yourself on national television in order to find true love.
Yes.
The Bachelor is having their open casting call for the new season of The Bachelor. Search is on for eligible women, says this press release, to find true love on the new season of The Bachelor on ABC.
Look how well the last one turned out. I mean, that's true love.
Jake and Vienna are just head over heels. Right. And then Melissa and Ed, the season before that, they just split up this week. So it obviously works.
Mm-hmm.
Keep working the program, because the program works. That's what they say at The Bachelor. It is July 17th, this Saturday. At the Westin South Coast Plaza from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. in Costa Mesa, California. If you're in Southern California, you can check it out. Get more information by going to thebachelor.warnerbrothers.com, and you can find the application there. But I recommend you go on.
I wonder, I'd love to know the percentage of women who will apply for that are really interested in finding a husband versus who are really interested in being reality TV stars.
5%.
How dare you even cast aspersions on their motivations?
I can answer that. 0% and 100%.
Zero percent.
People really want
to stars.
They really
want to
find they want to find love.
Love.
That's the dumbest. No, oh, please.
Love. What about that other one and him?
Yeah, they're still together.
They're still together. Yeah. There's
one couple that's been together.
Right. Ryan and Trista.
Okay.
That's the one.
Ryan and Trista are head over heels in love, have two wonderful, beautiful kids, and could not be happier living in Denver, Colorado.
And I would put my money on the fact that they didn't go into it thinking they were going to get that, but that they were going to be on TV.
Oh,
they found it along the way.
Who hurt you, man? Who hurt you?
I'm just saying.
why do you hate love?
The concept of going on TV to find love is the most inane thing ever, and everyone just seems to accept it now.
You are the opposite of Cupid. That's what you are.
How dare you?
You are Dipuk.
What about Flavor Flav? What about Flavor Flav? What about all the long-term relationships that came out of that show, Kevin?
That was a great show. I missed that.
Although I got to tell you, I'm really addicted to the season with Allie on The Bachelorette. Very, very, very.
Oh, is there a current Bachelorette too? There's a show that's on now.
Bachelorette's going on right now.
You know, you used to just watch it because your wife watched it.
Well, here's the thing.
Now you're hooked.
Here's the thing. It's like, oh, you know what? I was just doing heroin because my wife was doing heroin. If you start doing the heroin, eventually you start to need the heroin. It's not about the other person doing it.
I guess we have to ask that. Are you gay?
In this particular case, I must answer the affirmative. I'm hooked on The Bachelorette this season.
And The Bachelorette is one average-looking chick and then a whole bunch of hunky dudes. What's in it for you?
It's like Allie's cute.
She's
cute.
She's hot.
Yeah, she's got a real sexiness thing about her.
But you say every other conversation, there's a lot of places you can see hot chicks.
Well, I'm not watching because she's hot. I'm not saying that. But Bean said she was a dumpy chick, and she's not.
I think she's pretty average compared to a lot of those girls I've seen on those shows.
Ralph, don't you feel like coming off the heels of The Bachelor, which was awesome television, because there were so many bad people that hated each other and yelled at each other.
Yes.
That you're ready to see that in The Bachelorette? Okay.
What's going on here, Mr. Queermo?
Well, how about Allie confronts the wrestler, the professional wrestler from Canada, who is on the show professing his undying love for her. It turns out he's got a girlfriend back in Canada. The girlfriend gets jealous and calls up the Bachelorette and says, hey, he's not in it for you. He's in it to get his wrestling career going.
Room's starting to spin real fast.
And he starts to run away from the cameras.
Because of
the
gayness.
And he's like running through fountains and stuff because the camera crew is chasing him. And he's trying to get a cab and no cab will stop for him. And he keeps running away from the cameras. Awesome
gay
television.
Lad.
Awesome television.
And I'll be honest, I have little or no idea what that means.
And sad news here in Los Angeles. Superman and Batman have been arrested.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Is that it? This is sad news, I think, don't you?
Is this the costume characters out in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater? Is that right?
All right. Mr. No Imagination, I guess you could technically say they're costume characters in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater.
So they are.
I like to think they were Superman and Batman.
They wouldn't be arrested if they were Superman and Batman.
Exactly. Well, look.
Neither of them could be arrested.
Both of them have a great respect for the law, and I think they would let right. justice take its course.
Where did they get arrested, Ralph?
Outside Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Interesting. Yeah. Why were they there?
Well, here's the thing. They passed the law saying you can't go out there anymore and pose for pictures and grift for tips.
Those of you that don't know, the people would go down there and they would dress up like this, and then they would take pictures with tourists, and then they would demand a tip, sometimes a little
shake
too
them
strongly.
Yeah. So now, to circumvent that new law, they got jobs handing out flyers for some of the shops along Hollywood Boulevard there. And so they're walking up and down
costumes.
The street in their costume, handing out the promotional flyers. They're saying, no, this is just my job. I just choose to dress as Superman while I'm handing out flowers for this, you know, cheap gimmicky merchandise store on the corner. And the cops didn't buy it and threw him in the hoosegow, and now I feel bad.
Jay Nerd!
Nerd!
Oh, you know what? You're not welcome to Comic-Con next week, then. F you. I just stay current. Today's celebrity birthday is Vincent Pastore, who was Big Pussy on Sopranos, is 64 years old today. Joel Silver, super producer, brought us many, many great hits, including the Lethal Weapon movies.
I don't
hear him speaking out for Mel.
Do you? Yeah.
He's 58. Jane Lynch, super funny and talented lady, is 50 years old from Glee, of course. Jackie Earle Haley is 49.
Yeah.
Matthew Fox of Lost is 44. And Taboo from Black Eyed Peas.
Hey! Is he the sweetest of all the Taboos, do you think, Ralph?
Yes, we will.
I'm Ralph Garman.
I accept the score. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Ryan Seacrest is a big fat liar. Our new feature debuting in about 10 minutes or so. Plus, what's up with Mel Gibson? We've got an update. I need your help, guys. I've gotten myself into a rather embarrassing situation. And this has happened. I think this has happened to a lot of people. Kevin, we've talked about on this show before how there are people whose names you can't remember, and unfortunately you've spent too much time with them, know them too well. It's way too awkward at this point, at this late hour, to ask what their name is.
Her name is Lisa May.
No, I got Lisa. Oh. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
you know
I'm that the king of that. Of course.
You're the king of that. Because you go, well, clearly I'm friends with this person, or I've spent 3 hours with this person, whatever it is. I can't now ask what their name is.
And by the way, especially for me, I really do feel like I'm a friend to them.
Yeah.
Right.
It's
right.
Not just that I'm just making that up, but then when the name doesn't come, you go, wow, there's no way I could ask.
Well, I've got a situation similar to that has been going on for years in my home, and that is we have a very nice lady
Donna.
Who comes in. We have a very nice lady who comes in twice a month to clean up. She's a Vietnamese housekeeper.
Right.
And she's been coming to my house now for, it's got to be 8 or 9 years. Now, I know her name, it is Lon, but I never know what it is she's saying to me. I don't
understand what she's saying.
I can't understand a word. Now, this isn't me making fun of other people's English, because look, her English is a hell of a lot better than my Vietnamese, okay?
Yes.
So I respect the fact that she's trying to speak our language. But she's lived in the country for 40 years, and I never have any idea what it is she's talking about. And you can't, I mean, it's just, it would be rude, I think, and tiresome every time she talked to me for me to go, sorry, I don't know what you're saying.
Huh?
What, could you repeat it? I mean, so I don't know what you guys would do, but I just nod. I just like, yeah.
That's what I would do.
I do that too.
Yep. I pretend I know what she's talking about and hope that she's not, you know, asking for money.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible that she's saying
No, I keep an ear out for sucky sucky, but I don't hear that. So it's usually fine because Donna's around, and for some reason Donna's able to understand her better than I am. But sometimes she talks to me, and it sounds urgent, and it sounds like a question is being asked, and I feel like it's super awkward because I don't know what it is she's saying. So yesterday, the weirdest thing happened. She called and left a message on my voicemail, my cell phone voicemail. She almost never calls.
No one ever calls because Bean doesn't give out that number.
Right.
She called and left
or
a message.
Answer.
Now what am I supposed to do? Now I've got no body language. I can't just nod and walk out the room. Now I've got a voicemail message that may require my attention, and I have no idea.
This is so easy.
Is she – what? Why is it so easy?
So easy.
Tell me.
Just ignore it, and then when she brings it up, you go, well, I didn't get an email. I didn't get a message from you.
I don't know if we're supposed to be on Maury for a paternity test. I don't know what she's calling to ask. Is she quitting? Is she going on vacation and she's not going to be able to come for the next 6 months? So I brought in the voicemail message, and I'm hoping if I play it back, maybe you guys can help me decipher what it is that Lon is talking about.
Okay.
And again, years now, I've been listening to this woman with no idea what she's talking about. So maybe you can give me some assistance here. Here's the message.
Hi, Mr. Bean. I am Lon.
Okay, I got it so far. Hi, Mr. Bean. I am Lon.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is her name. Okay.
I am Lon. Donna, pay just ready for me today. But you pay one more time. Okay, you, not, you don't need pay money, okay? I keep it with I give it for you, don't lose one more. Next Tuesday, you don't need pay money, okay? Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay, I got I am Lon, and I got thank you so much. Bye-bye. That's
money.
All I got.
I got get ready, tie, one more, and something about money.
There's twice she mentions money.
She wants
she
money.
Mentioned money.
One
okay.
more.
This is
something
blackmail.
About upstairs. Maybe she's like, I'll clean the upstairs one more time, but now you got to start paying me more money for it.
Are you paying her, Bean?
Yes.
At all? Are you paying her any?
Yes.
Does she live in the barn?
And I thought maybe when I got the message, I thought, the first thought is, oh, did I forget to pay her? But no, I left her, left a check on the counter for her before I left. So let's listen to that middle part again, and let's go through it a little slowly and see what she might be talking about.
I am Lon. Donna, pay.
Any idea?
No.
I am Lon, and then this part is.
Donna, pay. Just ready for me today.
Ready for me today. I got that.
Yeah.
Ready for me today?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly.
But you pay one more time.
You pay one more time?
Right.
Okay, you don't need pay money, okay?
You don't now need you thought- to pay me money, okay? I think you've overpaid her.
Yeah, that's Bean.
What?
No, Bean's known for overpaying.
Again. I heard, maybe she didn't come once, but you paid her.
Whoa.
Okay. Hey, what are we talking about
she
here?
She didn't arrive once, but you
got
it. It sounds like you don't need...
Okay,
again.
Let's go back to that part. Right.
Okay, you don't need pay money, okay?
You don't need pay money, okay?
You don't need pay money. She wants favors.
Is this the upstairs part maybe you were talking about?
Okay, you don't need pay money, okay?
No, it's later.
Okay. So you're saying you think I overpaid her?
In some, yeah.
Our producer Alex says that she thinks she said she needs to get paid one more time.
Which is the opposite of what
right.
Lisa
but
thinks.
But her
all
English
right.
isn't good.
Let's talk to Lisa on the phone. Lisa, okay. Do you have an idea?
I have a guess.
All right.
I think that she's asking you to have a check ready for her next week.
Or she's going to release the tapes of him yelling about hitting her in the head with a bat.
Well, now, that doesn't make any sense because, I mean, I always leave the check for her every time she comes in, including yesterday. I left the check on the counter before I went out, and she called after she got the check. So
maybe it got declined and you need another one.
How does a check get declined?
You don't have sufficient funds. You've never had.
I'm sorry. Say again, Lisa.
Does she come on Tuesdays? Because I thought
yes.
I heard her say.
Yes, she comes on Tuesdays.
Yeah, I thought I heard her say. Something about next Tuesday. I think okay. she said you don't need to pay.
Oh,
next
I bet she
Tuesday,
said see but... you next Tuesday, and then she went burn.
Yeah. Do you think she quit? Thank you, Lisa, for the call.
Hey, if anyone speaks Vietnamese, maybe they could help with this too, because maybe you're from.
She's speaking Vietnamese.
Well,
no, she is Vietnamese though. She's got a Vietnamese accent, so I thought maybe someone who speaks Vietnamese may be able to decipher it a little better.
I would think so. Yeah.
All right, hang on. Let's let's go back. Let's hear a little bit more.
Okay, you don't need pay money. Okay, I keep it with the.
I keep.
She said, I give you good.
I thought. Listen closely. I think she's saying Sanjay Gupta, the doctor from Zeta.
I don't
listen.
Think so.
I keep it with the.
Sanjay Gupta is what I heard. That's what
I keep it for you, the blues one more.
Okay. I heard one more. What's the beginning of the sentence?
I keep listen. For you the blues one more.
Listen up.
I keep it for you, the blues one more.
Right? The blues. She's talking about blue balls.
God, I don't know.
Who's with me?
And how do I say to her, hey, years later, I still have no idea what the F you're talking about, Lon? How do I have that conversation with her?
I don't think that is awkward because I get my nails done every 2 weeks by the same women.
Right.
And their English is better than that. And I still have to say often, I'm sorry, what did you say?
Bean,
and they repeat it three times before I get
Bean,
it.
Why don't you have your wife ask her what it was? Because you deleted it accidentally or something. Like, blame it on yourself,
yeah,
but then
have her
ask what...
Oh, have her talk to Lot and say, Bean accidentally deleted your message.
Right.
What were you calling about?
Yeah. Tanya has a suggestion. I think maybe this is it. Tanya, hi.
Hi. I think in the first or second sentence, she says something about Donna already paid her and Bean paid her again.
See?
Double payment.
Oh. You don't need to pay me.
Interesting.
Right.
Wow, this is the first time in Bean's life he's overpaid.
Tanya, how did you figure that out? How did you hear that?
I work with a lot of Vietnamese people.
Oh, that's what I was hoping. I was hoping there was somebody out there with special skills.
But now, if that's not what she said, Bean's going to short her. Now she's going to come over and work, and she needs more money, and Bean's going to go, already paid.
Listen to the second sentence. She mentioned something like Donna already paid her.
Okay.
All right. Hang on one second. Let's go back to that part.
Donna,
maybe that's where you're talking about. Donna, pay up?
Yes.
Is that what she's saying? Donna, pay up? All right.
Donna, pay up. Get ready for me today. You pay one more time.
And you pay one more time, meaning that
you pay too much.
So the check that I left yesterday came after Donna already paying her before I got there.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Good job, Tanya.
This is ladies and gentlemen.
I hope you're right.
No,
I hope you're right, because she is going to get shorted now. That's what I'm saying. Is Donna paying her to have sex with you?
Not that I'm aware of.
Right. Well,
I thought she was doing it because she liked me. Thank you, Tanya. Outstanding detective work. I feel so much better now. Yeah. I don't want to make crazy, wild allegations against somebody that I don't know, but I think Mel Gibson may have an anger problem.
You think?
I mean, I've heard the tapes. I've given it some thought. I think he may have trouble controlling his temper a little bit. I think he blew up a little more than necessary to Oksana.
You think?
Yeah. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's debating his future. Only the Kevin and Bean Show has Mel Gibson on the phone. Let's hear it straight from the man's mouth himself. Please welcome Academy Award winning actor and director Mel Gibson to the show. Hey, Mel, how are you, man? You okay, Mel?
You will smile and me.
Okay, listen.
That is what I deserve.
All right. We're not Oksana. There's no reason for you to be angry at us. We just wanted to find out what's going on with you and these crazy tapes.
You are a soul-sucking
wow.
Who takes my soul and sucks it. And you should be my.
All right, listen.
Because that is what I deserve.
Mel, all right. We're not your ex-girlfriend.
You have no friends.
Okay, we actually do. We don't have anything to do with this little drama that you've created for yourself. You need to calm down and just rationally tell us what's going on with you. Are you on drugs? Where's all
what
this rage?
What do you want to know?
Well, why are you so crazy?
You are crazy?
No, I don't.
Now you're all angry.
I want to know
now you're all angry at me.
We're just asking.
I will show you what crazy is. I will show you what crazy is. Don't think I don't have the energy to come over there.
I'm sure you do.
Give you a baseball bat upside your head, which is what you deserve.
I'm sure.
Okay, just calm down, Mel. We're trying to figure out what it is you're so upset about. Look,
I will put you in the rose garden.
But, okay, please don't threaten us.
Don't think I will not do it.
Now,
because I will do it.
Right.
I will put you in the rose garden, and I'm not saying you will go there and prune rose bushes. No.
No.
You will not go and pick roses.
Right.
You will not be looking for aphids and clean pests off of rose bushes.
Right.
What I mean is, I will murder you,
right,
and I will bury you beneath the rose bushes in the rose garden, and you will not be found unless people overhear me saying, I will bury you in the rose garden.
No, just the question, the one question we have is, what's going on? Why are you so angry? Why?
I am angry.
Why, though? Why?
Because
Mel, you're out of shape a little, wouldn't you say?
Danny Glover won't take my phone calls anymore.
That's it?
Well, after all the things you say about black people in these tapes, I don't blame Danny Glover for not taking your calls.
First of all, I'm not talking about Danny. I'm talking about the
Mel,
seriously.
Danny Glover will be raped by a pack of
No.
And he deserves it.
He will not at all. Nothing bad is going to happen. Listen, Mel, what you need to do is take a time out, maybe get on some medication, and get some help professionally.
You need to jog first, though, because...
Jog? I will show you jog.
No, but you're so...
I will jog over there, and I will... in the ear. And don't think I don't have the energy to do it.
I don't think you have the energy.
I will fill your ear with... And you will be doing that thing that swimmers do when they get out of the pool and they've got an ear full of water and they tilt their head to one side and they...
Okay, listen, Mel, we gotta go. Clearly, you're not ready to deal with your demons here, but we're going to urge you again to get some help, all right?
All right, have a good morning, fellas.
Okay, bye.
I have a question for you, Kevin. Why do you hate?
I don't know. It's just... Driving in every once in a while, I listen to Ryan Seacrest just to get my fill.
Yeah.
And he does this thing called Ryan's Roses, and everybody thinks it's real. And it drives me crazy because I've sat in how many meetings, Bean, with lawyers talking about what you can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. And this bit is not possible. It's 100% illegal. But it seems to have taken off, and everybody seems to believe it and enjoy it and love it. And every time I'm on my way, and I go, how do people not know this is fake? I guess because they don't know
the law, the FCC
rules.
That you can't tape people without their knowledge.
Is that what it is? Putting callers on the air without consent. That's what he's doing that tips you off that it's fake.
So he can't do it. He legally can't do it, but everybody believes it. So I went and I looked it up, and there's a bit called War of the Roses radio show, and there's a description. The segments typically involve a person in a committed relationship that believes he or she is being cheated on. When the initiator is silent on the phone, the host of the show calls the suspected party using a ruse to get them to talk, usually claiming that the suspect has just won a free dozen roses.
Oh, okay.
This is exactly how it works. This is a service, a radio service.
You're kidding.
That provides actors.
You hire them?
Yes, you hire actors.
This bit.
Yes, and they print out a script, and it describes it verbatim.
Oh, my God.
And then they have a list of stations that do it. The wake-up call in Sacramento, Miami, Orlando, Greenville.
Okay, wait, run this by. So if you think someone is cheating.
Yes.
You call Ryan.
Yes.
And he has this sort of set up.
Yes, and he calls the supposed guy.
And says,
hey, you want a dozen roses? Who do you want to send them to? And what would you like the card to say?
Oh.
And it's almost always the other woman, right?
Oh, I see.
So then the woman who's quiet on the phone goes, hey, but I thought I'm going to so kill you. And then he goes, oh, I can't believe I'm on. And everybody buys it. People believe this.
I will tell you, as bad as our show is, at least we don't have a script. At least we're not literally actors reading off of a page for entertainment like this Ryan Seacrest
until
bit.
Today.
So the Kevin and Bean players are here.
Oh, here we go.
The Kevin and Bean players are here because we are going to reenact an exact. We can't replay Ryan's radio broadcast, but we did write it down word for word. So I present for you the Kevin and Bean players.
And now, join us once again for another stirring performance by the Kevin and Bean players.
So we're going to find out what we've been missing by not listening to Ryan Seacrest. Okay, so this is Ryan's Roses. Now, who are we going to be hearing in this broadcast?
It's called War of Roses, if you look at our...
Bravo! Bravo!
We're not done.
Amazing.
We're not done yet. Actually, we haven't.
The Kevin and Bean.
No, we haven't.
That was
we
too soon,
haven't
wasn't
done
it
yet.
We haven't finished yet.
Let's do the bit first before we congratulate ourselves.
We could not actually do this bit for real. We're so bad.
I'm pretty sure that's why we don't use a script. Hey, you people in the other studio, shut up. All right. So
there's no horn in this bit, Mike.
So I'm going to be Ryan, and Lisa is going to be Ellen.
Hello.
The sidekick. And Mike is going to be Mike on the phone.
Yeah.
He's the alleged dupe.
Okay.
Okay.
And Alex is going to be Elaine, who's the woman that thinks she's cheated on.
Good morning.
Okay.
And Miss Cleo is going to be the woman on Ryan's show that supposedly offers him flowers for no reason.
Hello.
All right. A lot of moving parts. All right. Ryan's Roses now is presented by the Kevin and Bean players.
Word for word. Take it away.
This
happened on his show, word for word.
Okay.
Ryan. Elaine is with us. She's been dating a guy for 2 years. She met him at work. They're co-workers. They've been keeping it secret. You're not exclusive. You've been pushing the issue. He doesn't want to commit that he's ready. So is there another girl? We're going to call him now. I need you to say, Ryan, you have my permission to call blank on the radio.
Okay. Yeah. Ryan, you have my permission to call blank.
Okay. Which, by the way, doesn't get him off the hook for any of you that think it does. Right?
Okay.
Does it make it FCC legal to call and put the guy on the radio?
Okay, now, be very quiet. Patty, come over to the microphone. You're going to offer him flowers and see if he sends them to Elaine. And we also want to wait and see what he puts on the card. That's the key. So quiet, everybody. Here we go. Ring.
That's our phone.
Is that the phone ringing? Mike picks it up and says,
hello?
Hi, may I speak to Mike, please?
Yeah, this is Mike.
Hi, good morning, Mike. My name is Patty, and I'm calling from Twilight Flowers. I'm calling because you've been chosen to receive a free dozen roses. They are completely free, and you can send them to whoever you want. I don't need any information from you. I don't need a billing address or anything. I don't need a credit card, a home address, or anything. I don't need anything.
See, well, that's the happens. Key. That's the key, is that they call, but they don't need any
There's
personal
no way
information.
To trace it back.
Oh, okay.
They're completely free. They're amazing roses. You can send them to whoever you want.
Did she really have a speech impediment?
Yes.
She does, really.
Well, if it's free, then it sounds good.
Okay. Who would you like to send them to?
I would like to send them to my fiance.
Your fiance? And what's her name?
Amy.
Okay, now see, Amy's not Elaine.
Wait a minute.
This is a different one.
He said flowers to the actress playing Elaine is going to be very disappointed by this news.
And then Patty says,
okay, what do you want to put on the note?
I love you very much, and am grateful that you're going to be my wife.
Oh, that's so cute.
And then Ryan steps in. Do you know Elaine?
Hello?
My name is Ryan, and we're on the radio right now. So, you're being broadcast. I just wanted to let you know that. Do you know a girl named Elaine?
This is Ryan Seacrest?
Yes. Do you know Elaine?
We've been working together for some time. We went out a few times. We were off and on. I think we were casually seeing each other for 2 years, but I broke it off because she just wouldn't leave me alone.
So, Mike, Elaine is on the phone right now. Maybe you would like to explain this to her.
You beep, 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 beep. You have a fiancé. You have a fiancé.
Listen, you psycho. I told you I don't want to be in a relationship with you. And now you get me on the bleeping radio? Listen, my fiancé listens to the radio show, and if she hears this, I'm going to sue you. Ryan, if you effing call me again, I can't believe I fell for this
crap. This is my favorite part right here.
I listen to this stupid show, and I hear this, and I can't believe I fell for this. If you put this on the radio and my fiance hears this, I'm going to go there and kick your ass, Ryan. Do you hear what I said? I'm going to sue you.
Ryan looks so scared right now.
Mike, before we take this call off the air, to avoid any legal action...
No, you know what? F him. F him, Ryan. Hey, I want to know if you can handle the word baby, because you are about to have one in 6 months, dude. I'm having a
come
baby.
On.
Yes,
come
she's
on.
Pregnant. She's pregnant. No. Yes, she is.
I stopped taking that birth control pill, and I'm pregnant with your baby.
Elaine, you're pregnant?
I am.
That's a pretty good Ryan, by the way.
Pregnant with Mike's baby.
Really? I bet it looks like, what's that security guard? What's that security guard's name? Tyrone. I guarantee it looks like Tyrone's kid. I'm at work, psycho. Stop calling me. You are hooking up with Tyrone.
What about all those romantic nights under the cubicles, huh?
Mike, did you drop your drawers under the cubicles? Thank you, Elaine.
Yes, he did, and he can't deny it. And you know what? I hope there is security tapes, because you know what? I'm going to post that beep, beep on YouTube. That's what I'm going to do, and I hope your dumb, effing up girlfriend, fiance, whatever.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to cut right to our favorite part where Mike hangs up.
That's okay. Where I hang up,
and then Ryan says to Elaine, are you sure it's Mike's baby?
Sorry, Kevin cut down the script. Hang on.
And Elaine says,
I swear to God, guys, I swear on my baby's soul, I'm prego. It's Mike's baby.
And then everyone laughs, and they all go, wow, that was crazy.
So you're telling me that the actors who play in these scripts, now they've got to hang up and do this for a station in Sacramento, then they got to hang up and do it for a station in Lincoln?
Yes.
I mean, it's just,
dude,
that's what they do?
You get $200 and a Chili's gift card. It's worth it.
Wow.
So that's Ryan's roses, people. Why does anyone need to tell you that? Don't you listen to that and go, this is not real.
It's spectacular.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's the world famous K-Rock at 7:54.
Thank you, Ryan. Time for the showbiz beat now. Ralph Garman is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Congratulations to Bret Michaels, Poison front man. He is engaged to his girlfriend of 16 years, Christy Lee Gibson. Bret said that he decided to propose to his girlfriend after narrowly surviving that brain hemorrhage in April. Yeah, I think you had a headache before. What are you getting married? Javier Bardem, speaking of marriage, is married to Penelope Cruz. People magazine says the pair were secretly married at a small private ceremony in the Bahamas earlier this month, but kept the news secret until now, so congratulations to those two. They've been dating since 2007. And congratulations also to Vince Vaughn. According to the UK's Daily Mail, he and his blushing bride, Kyla Webber, are expecting. It'll be their first baby, and friends say the couple is thrilled about the upcoming arrival. Speaking of babies, I was thinking this week, I know I've got a baby girl at home who is now 9 pounds and 10 ounces.
Wow. Fantastic. Good for
yeah,
her.
She's really
sounds
growing.
Fat to me.
That's great news.
She's really growing. And I understand at this point in a baby's life, the father is at best superfluous. He is, you know,
useless.
I try to be as hands-on as I can. I change the diapers. I'll bottle feed, you know, when I can.
Breastfeed, you know, when you can.
I hold the baby, do what I can. But really, there isn't much you can do. It's all about the mom, really. However, there's a phenomenon I've noticed in the past couple weeks that every woman who comes into the house, whether it's my mom, my wife's mother, or friends, other mothers who are spending time at the house, to a person, they have all looked at me at some point when I'm holding the baby and go, oh, look how good he is with her. All I'm doing is just holding the baby, not dropping it, really.
That's your accomplishment.
What are other fathers doing that make me look so good in
Kevin
comparison?
Is a father.
How dare you?
Did you, like, diaper your baby's head or something, Kevin? Did you carry it around by its ankles? Were you palming it like a basketball?
Well, I did that, yeah.
What are fathers doing that make me look like I know what I'm doing or I'm good with the baby? I'm just not hurting it, basically, is what's happening.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
They go, oh, look, he's so good.
He's so good. He hasn't dropped her yet.
I'm holding her upright. Is that good for a father? Are we that bad at it?
Yes.
I guess we are.
I do get the sense, and of course my only knowledge of this comes from what I've seen on TV and in the movies, but I do get a sense that nothing is more attractive to a woman than a man with a baby. Like, there's something that makes you look at him and go, aw.
Don't think I haven't used that to my advantage. But my dating life has gone through the roof since I had this kid. But they don't say, oh, you guys look great together, or isn't that cute? And it's like, oh, look how good he is with her.
Yeah.
I'm just not hurting her. That's maybe all I'm doing.
Maybe there are a lot of guys that don't want to participate.
They don't show up at all?
I don't know.
Well, I'm just, I was wondering what's going on out there.
Compared to Mel Gibson and his interaction with his daughter?
I guess I look pretty good. Just to Cristiano Ronaldo, who's finally seeing his kid for the first time.
Exactly.
Maybe I do look good in comparison.
But he's begging a lot of supermodels.
That's true. He's got a busy schedule.
Right.
You know, next week I keep bringing it up because I'm super excited. The San Diego Comic-Con next week. We'll be broadcasting from down there. I'll be down there Thursday. We'll all be down there on Friday. Apparently, there are rumors going around now who will play the Hulk. Who will play Bruce Banner, who turns into the Hulk in the Avengers movie, because Ed Norton, of course, famously was dismissed last week. So now there's a short list of cast possibilities that hit the internet today. Let me see what you think. Joaquin Phoenix as Bruce Banner, turning into the Incredible Hulk.
I don't see that.
No.
We'll have to shave first, right? Adrian Brody. His name's being thrown around.
Mm-mm.
Nathan Fillion, a Firefly fame, and now can be seen on Castle over there on ABC.
He's good.
He is good.
I like him.
I like that choice more than any, I think. And David Tennant, the actor who played Doctor Who for many years in the UK, also talked about possibly.
No Christopher Mintz-Plasse?
No. He'd be a great choice.
Wouldn't he?
Yeah. Also, rumors surrounding the Comic-Con next week are the new Superman movie. Apparently, this rumor just hit the internet this week, that Jonathan Nolan, the brother of Christopher Nolan, who famously revived the Batman franchise, is being talked to possibly direct the new Superman movie. And the actor they're talking to play Clark Kent / Superman,
Christopher Mintz-Plasse?
Christopher Mintz. No, wait a minute. No, Zachary Levi from Chuck.
Oh.
Interesting.
He could certainly pull off the Clark Kent.
That's interesting.
Ralph, whatever happened to the Brandon Routh series of Superman movies? They made the first one. I know it wasn't adored, but it made a lot of money. I'm surprised they didn't come back with him in another film.
It didn't make nearly enough money for Warner Brothers, as far as they were concerned. It was a very expensive film, and it made its money back, but was not a big hit, and not a big audience favorite. People went, but no one came out saying, I love that film. It was sort of a dull, dark version of Superman, which really I think is the wrong way to go with that character. A lot of people thought, certainly critics and audiences did. But
how much of that was the actor's fault, though? Brandon Routh.
None.
I thought he looked like a pretty good Superman.
None. I think he did a real good job. I think it was Bryan Singer who directed it was sort of had the wrong take on the character.
I also think Kate Bosworth as Lois Lane was horrible. Wacky
choice.
Casting.
She was supposed to be like a single mother, and she looked like 18, like she was playing dress up, and it was bad casting.
I've got a
Lex Luthor, although Kevin Spacey was a great Lex Luthor.
Well, so.
I've got a crazy casting idea for your Incredible Hulk, and tell me if this is a terrible idea.
All right.
What about Taylor Lautner?
Well, he's kind of too hulky to begin with.
And also too young, right?
Yeah.
Like Bruce Banner's supposed
to be a scientist in his 30s who overdoses himself with gamma radiation and becomes the Hulk when he gets very angry.
So he doesn't start out muscular.
No, he's not a big guy. He's a slight guy, and the change in him is because of the radiation overdevelops his muscles and makes him angry and smashing and crushing things.
All right, I'll go back to Weird Al then, which was my first choice anyway.
Oh, Weird Al would be great. Imagine Hulk with an accordion.
He would play the hell out of that accordion.
I'm fat. Jam on it. Hulk fat.
Imagine Hulk with an accordion, a sentence that's never been said before in the English language.
Hulk like a surgeon.
Awesome. Today's celebrity birthday is Vincent Pastore, who played Big Pussy on The Sopranos, is 64 years old today. Producer Joel Silver turns 58. Jane Lynch from Glee celebrates her 50th birthday. Jackie Earle Haley is 49. Matthew Fox of Lost Fame is 44. Taboo from Black Eyed Peas turns 35 years old. Remember when he used to go, "The plane, boss, the plane," and then Ricardo Montalban would come out and they would, "What is your fantasy? I will make your fantasy come true."
Tattoo.
Why don't you want to be in love, boss?
Well, let me tell you, Taboo. Taboo, I must tell you, because they are very important people.
Different. This Taboo, that was Tattoo.
What? And I mentioned birthdays all morning, and I neglected our good buddy Kyle Gass of the Tenacious D.
Yeah! Woo!
Thanks to listener Mike.
That guy. What would he need him for?
Come on. Listener Mike lets me know that KG is 50 years old today, so we wish him the happiest of birthdays. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I have been fascinated with this story out of Portland, Oregon, the masseuse's claims against former Vice President Al Gore. And part of the reason I've been fascinated is because that is one line of work where it seems like there would be a ton of misunderstandings about what is being offered.
And by misunderstandings, you mean dudes that want more.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, it's a very sensual thing, and I understand that you know, there are places where you get more than just your muscles rubbed down, and I can see a lot of scenarios where, you know, the expectation might be different than what is being offered.
That's a muscle too. That's all I'm saying.
So we're going to want to take your calls if you work in the massage therapy industry, and I understand. I'm not painting any industry with a broad brush here. I understand that 99% of you are professionals, and it's a non-sexual interaction. There are some out there that you can get a little bit more. The famous happy ending is available. And I want to know what it's like for you when people come in and they expect that. Yeah, because you have to count, you have to have a system. You have to have some way to shut that down, I would imagine, and do it in a convincing way. Like in this case with the Al Gore story, these details are unbelievable. Now, here's what's going on. It was in, I want to say it was October 24th of 2006 is when this woman was asked to Al Gore's hotel room to give a massage after he was given one of his BS global warming speeches, okay?
Right.
Slideshow. Slideshow, right. He said he had had a super busy travel schedule and he was exhausted. He just needed to relax. He wanted a massage. She went to the police in January of 2009 to talk about this, okay?
What? 3 years later?
Already that seems bizarre to me. But the details of, I mean, she ends up calling him a crazed sex poodle, by the way.
That is true.
Which is not exactly what I think of Al Gore.
No.
Here we go. So she goes to his hotel room, a high-end hotel, obviously. The former vice president's not staying at the Motel 6. Mr. Gore changed into a bathrobe, spoke of his grueling travel schedule, need to relax, told her to call him Al. While giving Gore an abdominal massage. By the way, I've never had a massage. So is abdominal massage, is that part of the deal? Is that what you?
I have for my back, but I don't think so. I don't think
I've never had an abdominal massage.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
While giving Gore an abdominal massage, she said he demanded that he go lower and soon grabbed her right hand and shoved it under the sheet. I felt like I was dancing on the edge of a razor, she told the detective.
What?
I don't know what that means. Her English is odd.
Yeah. I felt it, meaning that I was in a situation where it could go either way and I had to be very careful to walk a line that was appropriate or
No. You leave the room.
Yeah.
There's no line
easy.
There.
He's laying down. She could get out the door pretty fast.
That's ridiculous.
That's okay. Then she says that Gore wrapped her in an inescapable embrace and fondled her back, buttocks, and breasts as she was trying to break down her massage table. That's when she called him the crazed sex poodle. Let me see. He tried to pull her camisole strap down. She said she told him to stop. I was distressed, shocked, and terrified.
But again, let me ask this question. If that's all going on, you keep breaking down your table? Don't you?
No, you run out and you get security.
I would think so. But anyway, it goes into all sorts of more details where he tried to get her in the bed and blah, 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 blah. But the point of this is, and I don't think that anything will ever come of this because this is a classic he said, she said. It's not like there were any other witnesses or anything like that. I mean, I can't imagine much is going to come of it. But this exact same scenario has to happen all the time.
Yeah.
You bring a young woman up to your hotel for a massage. For her, it's just a business transaction, and there's certainly not going to be any sex involved. He's thinking, why the hell not? I'm here and I'm ready.
By the way, that could be at a hotel. It could be at a one of those spas, those day spas. It could be anywhere there's a masseuse.
But you think exactly. A hotel would be more.
So we'd like to talk to people who give massages about how the guys, in most cases.
And do you do abdominal massage?
Trying to make this happen.
Let's start with Al, by the way, who is on the line. Al is calling us here on the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hello?
Put the bong down.
Good morning, Kevin and Bahane. How are you?
Hey, it's Mr. Vice President. How are you, Al?
I'm in trouble.
It does sound like it. And this report of this police investigation being reopened seems like it came surprisingly close to when you and your wife Tip were separated after 40 years of marriage.
There's no global warming in our house. pretty chilly.
I bet it is. So what? Is this just some big misunderstanding? You weren't really trying to have sex with this woman? What happened?
No, I'd have to call this an inconvenient truth.
Uh-oh.
You want to put that in the file?
No. I thought that was pretty good, actually.
Okay.
You know about the file?
So what were you expecting when she showed up to give you the massage at that hotel in Portland?
I was hoping she'd melt my polar ice. But apparently our signals got crossed.
Maybe
I was confused by her very professional masseuse camisole she was wearing while giving me a massage.
That is odd.
Maybe you thought the abdominal massage was really more foreplay than it was therapeutic.
I figure she was working her hands down that way. Why not poll a voter? You know what I'm saying? Why not get in the booth and pull the lever?
Did you help move her hand where you wanted it to be?
Well, I thought maybe she could use some encouragement.
At one point in the police report, Mr. Vice President, she said she loudly protested, quote, "Get off me, you big lummox."
Yeah, she was from the 1930s.
What happened? This is the most ridiculous story ever.
She time traveled into my hotel room.
Lummox?
Called me a sex poodle and a lummox.
Exactly.
Said she passed a hobo in the way off the street. Who was lying on a steam grate.
If you have worked as a massage therapist, I'm sorry, I'm laughing quite a bit here, Mr. Gore. If you have worked as a massage therapist, we want to hear from you on the Kevin Amin Show about these misunderstandings and how you stop an incident from occurring like the one that happened in Portland with Mr. Gore.
At least he knows now why they called me stiff all those years.
Al, thank you for calling in. Good luck with this, all right?
Reduce your carbon footprint.
Okay. Thank you for the call. All right, we'll take your calls. Especially, I want to know what the move is. What's the move? What's
the guys do?
There's got to be like the first step where the guy somehow introduces the idea.
Right.
Yes.
And I would find that fascinating. 1-800-520-106. One 106.7 K Rock is KROQ, and it's 24 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Is that new? I like that. That sounds like it might be good.
Yeah.
That song.
What's that? Anything song they keep playing.
Yeah.
Hey, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show talking about massage therapy back in the news because of former Vice President Al Gore being accused of inappropriate advances, sexually unwanted advances by a masseuse in Portland. Ralph Garman, you're the sex expert on the program.
Oh, thank you.
What's the disconnect between what people expect to get and what they actually get when they go in for a massage?
Here's the problem. The problem is, sometimes it's a yes, sometimes it's a no. If there was a hard and fast set rules regarding massage, if the lines hadn't been blurred by the erotic massage practitioners versus the therapeutic massage practitioners.
So now the real ones, the therapeutic ones.
None of this would be a problem, but sometimes it can happen. And I have received, for a healthy gratuity, mind you, the erotic side of things from a legitimate masseuse as well.
Is that right?
So sometimes even then it's open for negotiation depending on their vibe or what
how
they're feeling
or
how poor they are or whatever.
That.
Well, things came up. in conversation.
Sure.
And towards the end of the massage, he said, is there anything else, any other areas you want me to work on? And I said, there certainly are, but I can't imagine you possibly could.
What am I supposed to do with this?
And she said, well, you know, there, nothing's written in stone.
Except this.
And I said, well, I certainly would be very grateful, both, you know, emotionally as well as financially, if that were to happen.
So smooth.
Much smoother.
Yes.
And so she said, you know, should we address this problem or should we just leave it alone? And I said, address away.
Address the hell out of
wow.
it.
Wow.
Psycho Mike is not quite as smooth as you are.
No.
However.
I didn't even talk. And I went to four separate massage parlors hoping for the erotic massage got the therapeutic massage.
But you went to the places that normally give the other one.
From what I thought. Yeah, I went to Monterey Park, which if you don't live in Southern California, it's highly Asianly. I mean, it's 90% Asian, and there's all these like really sketchy looking massage parlors. And I had heard, you know, rumors that they were the place to go to for this. And I go in there, and instead of just saying, you know, maybe you could work on this area, I just took said area and put it physically closer to her hands
wherever her hands were, you move your hips.
If she's going down like by my thighs, I would just press it. I would inch down lower and press it upwards. Aww. Finally, I'm doing like a wrestler's bridge where I'm putting my crotch up by her face.
No wonder they dismissed you.
Yeah.
Oh, you have a magnetic pelvis.
You're so bad.
Let's get to some calls here. Why don't we try Chanel on line one, which is an awesome name for a massage therapist, by the way.
Yeah.
She is calling on this topic. Hi, Chanel. Welcome to the show. Thank you for holding on. What happened?
Hi. I was actually, there was a couple gentlemen that come in, and they were pretty rowdy. So I had my guard up, you know, kind of just watching out for them. And the gentleman actually went to grab my crotch and my breast.
Really?
Wow. Now, how long have you or did you do massage therapy?
I have been a massage therapist for 10 years in Orange County.
Okay. So how frequently do you encounter this? I would imagine it's got to happen every day, right?
No, not really. You know,
not grabbing, but what about wanting more?
Yeah. The expectation, yeah.
Or the request.
I think the expectation is there. I mean, I've had a couple of, actually, my male friends ask me, how do I go ahead and you know, ask?
Right.
Is it appropriate to ask?
And the answer to that is...
You know what? You just have to. It's kind of like the other gentleman was saying. You know, you just kind of have to ask and see where it goes.
Yeah,
right. So, are you offended as a massage therapist and as a professional? I'm sure you're very good at it. And you take it seriously. Are you offended when somebody thinks, "Hey, maybe I can get something sexual out of this," or do you just understand that that comes with the territory?
I understand it comes with the territory. I don't get offended, but I do hold a professional attitude when I am working. And you know, the thing is it's. Either you do it or you don't.
There's right.
Really no gray area. Either.
Right. Either you're a good person or you're not. Yeah, I understand.
I think also the majority of people who go to a legitimate spa or a massage place aren't really expecting it.
Looking for a legitimate massage.
Right. Yeah. They want therapeutic because there are places you can go that are guaranteed,
except for Psycho Mike,
that you can get that too.
So. Right.
Chanel, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try Lindsay in the business for 5 years on line six. Hi, Lindsay. Thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You heard what Chanel had to say. Has your experience been pretty similar?
Yeah, kind of. I actually... was massaging a guy. He was my first client of the day. It was 9 o'clock in the morning, and he looked kind of sketchy. Anyways, he was just kind of a sketchy looking guy. But I start massaging him face down, and he's adjusting himself the whole time. And I thought maybe he's just like on it funny, and you know, I don't know. Maybe I don't have one, so I don't know if he has.
Wait, he's adjusting his hips, or he's using his hands, or what?
Yeah, he's using his hands.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'll never massage his hands.
Now you're not even getting near the hands.
Yeah, but he didn't do anything to offend me yet, you know. So when I flip him over and start working on his legs on the upper thigh area, he actually grabs it and asked if it's okay if he does that.
Don't mind me.
Okay, so
don't mind me.
But so he wasn't asking you to do anything except let him take his
take care of business.
Yeah, he like got off at the fact that I was doing that.
And your answer was?
I like totally froze, and so I just had to tell him that I was like, can I? I'll be right back. And like, I went and told my boss.
Good answer.
And my boss made me actually go back in the room and tell him his massage was over, which is
what?
Totally against policy. Yeah, it's totally against policy. But She made me do it. And
how about
you? Said, that's okay. I'm done anyway.
Lindsay, I got a question. I got a question for you, Lindsay. I appreciate you calling. You heard in the Al Gore story that there was an abdominal massage that was part of the treatment. I've never heard of that before. Is that something you do?
I don't personally do it, but I've worked with a lot of therapists that do that. And the reason for is because it's usually the last area that's massaged, and it just has to do with the blood flow in your digestive system and helping getting all those toxins like digested quicker.
Yeah. It has to do with the blood flow, all right.
You have rough? I've had a massage before, yeah.
But
yeah.
That's one of the reasons why I never did it. It's just too close for comfort for
yeah.
me.
Yeah, I got
well,
you.
Well, the inner thigh is not far away either, young lady.
No, it's not. But, you know, I mean, that's more, I don't know, it doesn't
it's
seem
got
as
a muscle,
weird as a stomach.
At least.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Listen, we're almost out of time. Do we want to talk to a guy who's massaging women and get his story?
You want to talk to a liar? Is that what you mean?
All right.
Really? You want to talk to him? Because I want
to talk to Ed.
80-year-old. All right. Edmund, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. You worked as a massage therapist and?
Okay, well, I worked as a massage therapist, mm-hmm. and people asking for extra services is actually pretty common.
Yeah. Guys or girls?
Even dudes and chicks. Dudes and chicks.
Well, dudes, I mean, understand, but no chicks are asking you for extra services.
Dude, I mean, it starts off, like, very simple. They just say, hey, can you massage my shoulders or something like that? And then
wait a minute.
They have to ask for that?
Wait a minute. Don't you start with
the that's an extra.
No, but then they want you to, they start kind of hinting, like, oh, can you massage my breasts? Or, oh, can you massage my abdominals and stuff like that? And
you liar!
I don't buy it.
No woman's asking for that, Edmund.
I don't buy it.
Well, hold on a sec, Ed. I don't know whether to believe you or not, but Lisa, you've got a lot of friends, and I'm sure they take massages. What have you ever heard of a story like this?
I haven't. I mean, it may have happened once or twice.
15
but it has
times,
got
he says.
To be super rare.
15 times,
with
he
the
says.
Same woman, 15, maybe.
15 different
15
women.
15 different women.
I find that very
15
hard
different
to
women in 3 years.
No.
In 3 years.
Yeah.
All right. I'm pretty sexy.
Yeah, you sit on a throne of lies. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the day after the Midsummer Baseball Classic. Kevin, I'm sure you weren't watching last night for the All-Star Game.
Nope, it's baseball.
It is certainly baseball. There was a rarity that happened last night. For the first time since 1996, the National League won. The American League has won or tied 13 in a row. Crazy, right?
Now, it matters because why?
They get the home field advantage for the World Series
now. Oh, that's right.
Doesn't come down to regular season.
Nope. That's how they decided to do it, because the All-Star Game was such a who cares for so long, and now they think people will actually try. But there are two other odd things about last night's All-Star Game. One, Alex Rodriguez, who maybe is the most famous baseball player in America on the American League team, didn't use him in the game. He's the only player on the squad that did not get into the game.
Is he injured?
Nope, he's fine. He was there, suited, ready to play.
What?
Why?
And the manager of the All-Star team is his manager from the Yankees, because they won the World Series last year. Didn't put his own guy in. So who knows what he didn't answer that question as to why they didn't put him. That was weird. The other thing is some of the most popular players in the game, like our friend Manny Ramirez, not selected for the All-Star team.
Well, aren't all All-Star games just like popularity contests? It's not really about how you play as much as it is the people.
Yeah.
No, I mean.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right, Kevin. Manny is not having an All-Star year, but he's so likable and so popular, and the Dodgers are such a big franchise that you would expect to see him on the team. So we wanted to find out, what was it like for Manny to not be invited to the All-Star game that was held last night in Anaheim? And he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show now. Hey, Manny, how are you?
All right, home run. All right, bring it right here, little pepper now. Hurry. All right.
Taking batting practice.
Yeah. All right. Hey.
Hey. You have an off day today. You don't have to work today. The Dodgers don't come back till tomorrow.
Hi, it's Manny Ramirez, outfielder, Los Angeles Dodgers. Right. I love LA. I love his home run. I have a horn.
Right. You do have a horn. So Manny, is this something that was disappointing to you to not be selected for the team, or were you happy to have a couple of extra days off in the middle of a long season?
All right, that's good pitch. Thank you. All right.
Would you mind?
I'm just taking body practice for All-Star game tonight.
The All-Star game was last night, if I'm not mistaken. It's already been played, Manny.
It happened last night, and you were not selected to be on the team, Manny.
They don't want me as All-Star?
Well, no.
No, you were not.
We thought you would know that by now.
Yeah. That's why nobody at ballpark.
Well, that would explain why there's no one there, yeah.
It's just me. And
where are
my
you? What ballpark are you at?
I'm in Anaheim.
Anaheim. Oh, yeah, that's where the game was last night. Yeah, but
they
tell me
that's where All-Star Game is. Manny Ramirez get on his best ball, and I ride here with my baseball bat and my pet pelican, Jerry Maguire.
You have a pelican named Jerry Maguire?
Yep.
Now, you're taking batting practice for a game you thought was tonight?
Yeah, I was going to get my great hitting ready for his home run for everybody around the world All-Star game.
But I thought you were injured. I thought you haven't even been playing for the Dodgers.
Don't play for Dodgers in a long time because I hurt my hand.
Your hamstring. I think it was your hamstring, yeah.
Oh, I love ham.
No.
Honey glazed ham. I like the spicy on it. I like
your
the ham in a sandwich. I put it with the Swiss cheese, and then I put it in between the bread. All right.
So I guess it'd be foolish to ask if you watched the big game last night since you didn't know it was on. I guess not.
Hey, pretty lady.
Hi.
I have to poo.
Okay. Why would you tell Lisa that?
I have a horn.
You do have a horn.
And now, another drama-filled moment on the hills.
This necklace is my favorite. This is what made me officially a princess. Like, I feel like a real princess today. Look at my jewelry.
That was a drama-filled moment on the hills.
Sad day. We have to say goodbye to that.
I don't know how anyone could bitch about Jersey Shore when those people live and breathe.
I agree.
Oh, I want to just napalm them. I just want to watch their charred bodies just smoke.
Last night was the finale, so it's over. But I'm just sad that we're going to miss that kind of stuff, because that's gold.
Sure.
That's TV gold.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I want to give away some passes to the world premiere of a little movie called Salt, starring Angelina Jolie as a CIA operative who is falsely accused of being a Russian spy. Has to go on the run from her own agency. The company.
Tasty, I'm in. Where do I get tickets?
Well, for me. You have to be one of the first five callers at 1-800-520-1067. It is Monday, July the 19th. It is the red carpet world premiere at Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Boobies. I like boobies.
Salt, the movie itself, will be in theaters Friday, July the 23rd. And I will be hosting a panel talking about Salt down at the San Diego Comic-Con next week.
I hope you will
stop by and see me if you're down there.
What day?
I think the Salt panel is Thursday. Thursday afternoon.
Okay.
Check your schedules for further info. But, yeah, go to the world premiere if you call now. 1-800-520-1067. I think it looks great.
I do, too.
Very few women can pull off action adventure like Angelina Jolie.
Yeah,
she is the best at that stuff.
Boobs.
Remember in Mr. and Mrs. Smith when she wraps herself in that skirt and then jumps out the window and it kind of spins her down to the street?
Yeah.
What an awesome moment that was in a movie.
I have that in slow motion in my head.
I like her. I'll tell you, speaking of San Diego Comic-Con, all you gotta do to get my fellow fanboys fired up is start throwing out some casting possibilities for these comic book movies. The internet is aflame.
Yeah.
And my email box is full with emails like this one from Andrew. Ralph, heard you talking this morning about who should replace Edward Norton as the Hulk in the Avengers movie. My friends and I have been talking about this for the past couple of days. See, these are my people. Yeah. Guys who just sit around talking about Hulk casting.
No, you know what? I just had a great thought. Who should be the Hulk?
We've settled on Michael Emerson.
Oh, wow.
Can you think of a better person to play an introverted scientist who is hiding a monstrous amount of rage than Ben Linus from Lost?
Yeah.
He's a great actor, too.
How would you like to hear him say, "You wouldn't like me when I'm angry"?
Oh, interesting.
Imagine him saying that.
That's a full different twist.
That's a great idea.
About.
How's that going for you, John? I used to love when he would be all sarcastic and stuff to people on the island. That's a good idea.
That's a great idea.
Now, is the actor who ends up playing the Hulk, is he going to have to then take 6 months off and go bulk up, or is it all going to be CGI, do we think?
Do you really just not know how the movies work?
I don't know how the movies work.
But see, the problem is that that was a big TV show in the 70s, so you should know that, right?
You know that they're separate actors, guys who play the Hulk and Bruce Banner, right? You got to know that much.
I haven't seen any of the Hulk movie. Actually, I've never seen the Hulk TV show either. But I thought that
don't ask questions.
That's why I'm asking.
Michael Emerson will have to take 6 months off and go bulk.
He's going to get roided up.
Have to have his skin tattooed green as well.
You know that Lou Ferrigno, the actor, is deaf and struggles with the way he speaks. So you could deduce that he did not play Bruce Banner.
That's right, because Bill Bixby played Bruce Banner. That's
no,
right.
Lou Ferrigno had to go on a really serious diet and not lift any weights for 6 months until he shriveled down to Bill Bixby's size.
And learn how to talk.
Guys, yes. I don't know anything about anything.
You don't ask questions.
That's why I ask questions, is because I'm trying to learn. This is an educational program
it's
for me.
It's not!
The same guy plays Clark Kent and Superman.
Different character, turns out.
But what I'm saying is one guy is wimpy and mousy and weak, and then the other guy is buff and strong, but they do it with a costume, and they do it with, you know, the presentation. And
stop talking.
Plays him.
Okay. Stop talking.
I cannot wait to see you in San Diego next week. I'm going to flick you right in the forehead, and you're not going to know what it's from. Now I'm going to say, remember that conversation? That's what that's from. I've been saving it up for a week. Movies today, a rare midweek debut for a film in theaters everywhere today, is The Sorcerer's Apprentice, starring Nicolas Cage.
Huh?
Jay Baruchel and Alfred Molina also starring. Got a chance to see
that last night. Tasty! I'm in! Where do I get tickets?
Probably at the theater where it's playing, that's what I would guess. But okay. I got a chance to see it last night and I really enjoyed it, so I think you might too. Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch could become a public park.
Yeah.
Apparently, California Assemblyman Mike Davis is asking the Department of Parks and Recreation to look into it because he thinks people from all over the world would come to visit the property in Santa Barbara where Michael lived.
But State of California doesn't own it, though. They would have to buy it, right?
Or it would have to be donated to the state, yes.
But wait, it's going to be a Michael Jackson theme thing? I mean, is it going to be Michael Jackson World?
It would be a public park that would open up all the land and keep the structures there, and you would be able to go and see it. To which I respond, well, absolutely. California is in a situation where they can offer people free rides on the Neverland Ranch.
At least it's in the middle of nowhere.
Why don't they just buy it and then sell tickets? And then you can go see whatever you want to see, and then a little money for the coffers over at the State Treasury of California. How about that? Instead of just making it a free public park.
Tasty! I'm in! Where do I get tickets?
I'm not selling tickets.
Councilman Mike Davis.
Michael Jackson. No. World phenomena.
He was a phenomena.
That guy. What do you need him for?
Do I even need to do this segment anymore, or are you just going to play some audio bits back?
I got big booty bitches! I got big booty bitches! I got big booty bitches!
Will you shut up?
Back to you, Ralph.
You might want to check out Funny or Die today. They've got a very funny video they just put up. And this is a clever idea. I can't believe no one's ever done it before. They took Jewel. You know the singer Jewel?
Yeah, oh, yes. Yeah.
Who can save her?
Yep.
And they gave her a prosthetic nose, and they gave her a dark wig, and they put a fat suit on her, and they had special effects makeup people come in and totally change her look.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sent her into a karaoke bar. Which a bunch of other actors who were playing like conventioneers from some frozen foods convention or something.
Right.
And the friends kept trying to goad her to get up on stage to sing loud enough so everyone knew that Karen would not sing. She was really shy. Then she gets up on stage and just belts out a Jewel song that blows everybody's socks off. And the place goes nuts. Then they take her out. They strip her down of the makeup. Jewel stops by because she hears about this amazing girl who sang. Gets up and sings, and everyone thinks the first girl was better than Jewel was.
Oh.
It's an elaborate prank played on an entire bar full of people on karaoke night, and it is very entertaining.
That's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, but it really paid off. So funnyordie.com, one of our favorite websites. I just watched that earlier today. So
Will Ferrell's part of that.
Give the heads up. He is. He and his partner buddy Adam McKay put that together, and there's some great stuff on
that site.
I think we're tasty. I'm in. Where do I get tickets?
I think we'll be talking to Will and Adam actually at Comic-Con next week.
Fantastic.
He's got a new movie coming out called The Good Guys with Mark Wahlberg.
Maybe he can explain how that Hulk thing works to me.
Nope.
Does he have to go bulk up for 6 months?
I've never seen it.
Mike, could an actor put on that kind of size and muscle in the
span
of 6 months?
But see, Bean's never seen it, so he doesn't know that
the Hulk
is...
But he knows how the human body works, right?
Right, but I also know that when Tom Hanks made the Castaway movie, that's exactly what they did. They filmed the fat scenes, and then he lost all the weight to do the thin scenes, and they could do the same thing in reverse.
I want to drill your head open.
So starving yourself into being thin is the same as packing on 150 pounds of muscle.
What about little Taylor Lautner from the Twilight movies?
Oh, my God.
It's not who close.
No.
How are you stupid?
20-year-old Taylor Lautner putting on 15 to 20 pounds of muscle over a summer is somehow similar to, like, 50-year-old Michael Emerson becoming a monster.
I didn't know how much muscle he'd have to put on to be the Hulk, if there might also be some prosthetics or costuming or something.
Why is Tom from Blink answering that question?
Because.
Oh, you stupid. Does it bother you make everyone so angry, Bean? Does it ever bother you at all?
I don't think so.
I'm just curious.
I'm not trying to make anybody angry. I'm just asking legitimate questions. Look,
you stupid, ignorant son of a bitch, dumb bastard!
I guarantee if I'm asking a question, there must be at least some people, a handful of people out there, okay, who are asking the same questions that are listening to this show.
Maybe
and I speak for them. I give a voice to the voiceless. That's what I do.
Oh! You.
I'd like to give you a bullet for the bulletless. Right in the head.
Didn't quite make sense, but I'm with you.
You hear me? Today's celebrity birthday is Vincent Pastore from The Sopranos, who played Big Pussy on that show. He is 64 years old today. Legendary action movie producer Joel Silver is 58. Actress Jane Lynch from Glee is 50. Someone, by the way, emailed me demanding a bell for Jane Lynch.
Nope.
I love her. Don't get me wrong.
I would watch her in anything she does.
I agree.
No
bell, though?
No.
No bell. Jackie Earle Haley from The Watchmen and from Human Target over on Fox. He's 49 years old. Matthew Fox of Lost is 44. And Taboo from Black Eyed Peas celebrates the 35th birthday. Oh, and don't want to forget Kyle Gass, our buddy from Tenacious D, also celebrates his 50th. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You're going to give Ralph airtime for his filth? He's going to run down a good family man, a good Catholic like Mel Gibson by saying rude things about him here? You're going to disparage a great actor? Is that what you're doing here, Ralph?
I'm not doing a thing. I am just playing some audio, man. Just playing some tape. You, of all people, should appreciate.
And it's allegedly Mel Gibson.
Allegedly Mel Gibson.
Allegedly Mel Gibson talking to his girlfriend, Oksana. And, of course, we've all heard all other three snippets that have been leaked on the internet so far. This is the latest, and in my opinion, the greatest.
Really?
It just broke today.
How does it keep...
It is a continuation of everything we've heard up to this point.
Okay.
He is, he's already threatened to bury her in the Rose Garden at this point.
Put her.
Yes.
Put her in the Rose Garden. How do I put this? Mel really, really likes one particular sex act.
Yes.
A lot.
And is it one where he doesn't have to do anything?
It's exactly what it is.
He deserves it.
And
that's true.
He deserves it, and he demands it, and apparently he should have been demanding it a lot more in retrospect. I think this is a pensive Mel, looking back over the relationship, realizing he may have made some mistakes, and one of which is he didn't demand constant oral sex from his girlfriend.
Okay.
Here's Mel.
I didn't blame you last night.
What are you on the bench this morning for?
I wasn't doing anything.
What did I do? And you said, also earlier today, never mind. What the f*** were you going to say?
I was going to say about last night, that's all.
Why, because I let you sleep? That's my mistake. I should have woke you up and said, me, bitch. I should have woken you up and said, me. You would have liked that better, yeah? You need the goddamn sleep.
I just waited for you. I waited and waited till I fell asleep, and then...
Waited, like 2.5 minutes. You're snoring. Don't you dare wait. You're blaming me right now. Now I'm blaming you. You went to sleep.
I don't blame you.
I deserve to be first before the jacuzzi. I'll burn the goddamn house down. But me first.
Yeah.
Wait, so he's going to burn the house down.
But first, take care of business. Look, I don't know much about women, but I don't think you're going to sweet talk a girl into doing that with that kind of language.
Well, that sounds reasonable.
And it goes on for about another 2 minutes.
Really? There's another 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
do you guys think this ends
with him saying, you are an effing pain in the ass, which I think is really an understatement given everything we've heard up to that point.
Do you guys think this is all part of one phone call that she taped, or do you think this is a series of calls? Because clearly some of them seem to pick up where the last one left off.
Well, this is definitely an addition to what we played earlier.
I know.
It
all sounds to me like it's one whole phone call.
I believe it is, yeah. Except I think maybe the wetback conversation may have been a different phone call.
Okay. All of which are allegedly Mel Gibson.
Allegedly Mel Gibson, yeah.
Ralph told us during the song, and I had not heard this before, because I've been wondering, where's Mel Gibson? That he's working right now. He's making a movie.
Yeah. He was as of the end of June. I don't know whether he's taking some time off or whatever, but he was shooting a film. I believe the title is How I Spent My Summer Vacation. I'm not kidding. That was the title. At least that was the working title. We know. You spent it yelling at your baby mama. That's how you spent your summer vacation.
We've heard your summer vacation.
So there you go. There's some updated Mel Gibson news for those of you.
He's a delight.
Can't get enough, and I'm one of them. Speaking of updated news, U2's canceled summer tour dates will now happen next year. Bono's back surgery, of course, caused the band to scrap the North American tour. But now it has been rescheduled. Live Nation announced yesterday that the 360 tour will be in the States on May 21st, 2011.
May 21st, 2011.
A little less than a year from now.
Mmm, tasty, I'm in. Where do I get tickets?
LiveNation.com, I'm guessing. Picked up in Denver, then runs through July 23rd in Minneapolis. The group's European tour is still on track for next month, however, which begins August 6th in Turin, Italy. So,
the logistics of a tour like that must just be mind-numbing.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be crazy.
Especially when Bono insists on stopping at every Renaissance fair along the way and hitting right. on Fat Chick.
That was nuts.
That will really slow a tour down when you have to first find the Renaissance tour in your local area.
That didn't happen.
He's got to get a limo. And then
that may not have been the real Bono.
I've seen the pictures.
It was a look-alike. It didn't look anything like him.
It looked exactly like
him. It wasn't even a look-alike.
It looked...
You know, we broke her heart when we told her that wasn't Bono that she met at the Renaissance Fair, right? We destroyed that poor lady.
Yeah. Lindsay Lohan is apparently consulting a psychic about her legal problems, trying to get some help.
That's where you should get smart.
That's what I would do.
Because they can tell the future.
And apparently the word she is getting from not only the psychic, but also O.J. Simpson former attorney Robert Shapiro, is that she will get a reduced sentence and will not have to do as much as some people have been saying. So she's hoping to get out earlier than even expected. The psychic said so.
We've heard 25%. We've heard 10%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So who knows?
This is right up Psycho Mike's alley. Woo! There is a auction going on to raise money for a school called the Summit School in New York City. And apparently one of the parents at that school is Mr. Hugh Jackman.
All right.
He has put up on the auction block a chance to work out with him. As a way to raise money for the school. He said he will work out with you, he will lift weights with you, and he's even offering to do it without a shirt, if you prefer.
Mike would prefer.
Wow, Mike would.
Where do I start bidding?
As of this report, the highest bid is $12,500.
Never mind.
For the workout with Hugh Jackman.
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
Oh, that
would be great.
That's a whole different
imagine
kind of workout.
Him as a personal trainer, I'd be the best shape of my life.
You will get one more rep.
Yes, sir. You will epic best press that.
And then you'll
do something to me.
By the way, not at all surprised to see Hugh Jackman giving his time and money to charity.
No. Yeah,
he just seems like such a stand-up dude, doesn't he?
He is, the best. By all accounts, a swell guy.
Does our producer Alex have the winning bid so far?
I believe she does, yeah. She's got a big crush on Hugh. Despicable Me 2 in the works as we speak.
Of course.
No surprise?
No.
Of course, it was a major smash hit, bigger than anyone could have expected. You know, they were hoping for $30 million for the opening weekend. They ended up taking almost $60 million.
Wow.
And so apparently the sequel's in the works right away, as you can imagine. So that'll be good news. And who will take over for Larry King now that he's stepping down from his interview show on CNN?
Mel Gibson, I hope.
Mel Gibson.
Wouldn't that be great?
Taking over, just screaming at everyone.
Belittling every guest.
Why did you kill Michael Jackson?
Why can't you stop the oil spill?
No, apparently Piers Morgan has the inside track.
Oh, good choice.
I like that dude.
I do, too.
I do, too. Like him very much.
He's from Britain, right?
He's smart. He's British. He's very entertaining. He's acerbic, but he's also got a real curiosity about him. And, you know, curiosity is what I look for in a person.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ralph. I agree.
I think it is a noble trait, and I think it's very important.
I haven't seen his America's Best Talented Dance Crew, whatever the hell his reality show
that's
is,
it.
But I was very impressed with him on Celebrity Apprentice the year he won. I just thought, that's a smart dude.
America's Got Talent is the thing.
Yes. Oh, is that his show?
Yes. All right. Today's celebrity birthday is Vincent Pastore is 64 years old today. KG, our buddy from Tenacious D, celebrates his 50th. Producer Joel Silver is 58. Jane Lynch from Glee is 50 years old as well. Jackie Earle Haley turns 49. Matthew Fox of Lost is 44. And Taboo from Black Eyed Peas is 35 year old today.
Sure.
He sure is. I'm DJ 90210. I'm Ralph Kramer and I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph.
This is the Kevin DeBean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We are going to ask the question, is Mel Gibson set up? We've gotten some emails from people saying it sounds like a total setup. Somebody's trying to get him mad, and they're doing it on purpose.
Yeah, it seems difficult to do.
The quality of the recording sounds like she's in a recording studio.
Dr. Drew tomorrow morning. Kendra Wilkinson tomorrow morning. Talking about her time at the Playboy Mansion. That is how she laughs.
Like Twin Eagle.
Psycho Body on the program tomorrow. Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. And wow. Rainbow Guy we have tomorrow as well.
Oh, that's a full rainbow all the way. Double rainbow. Oh, my God. Double rainbow.
Yeah, not on drugs, by the way. Nothing. Nope. Nothing. Sober.
Rainbow power.
That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Cat Corbin's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including 30 Seconds to Mars. Also, Rage Against the Machine. We got some Muse, Blink-182, and more next after this on K-Rock.